Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 20th day of August 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. And if you happen by there right now, well, great googly moogly, you will be met by early arrivers Jeremy in Vermont, and Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky, and Stockton Larry, and that's awesome, and you and they are all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has nonetheless not folded space, because it's just not a space you want to fold right now. No, no, not at all. Hi, I'm Robin, Friday on the front porch. The Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable will gather together in short order. And there's a button at headon.live. You can use it. It'll put you right into the group. And, well, we'll see what's on folks' mind. I've got some stuff to delve into this afternoon. And, of course, this program, like every other on the horn, begins with gratitude. Because instead of telling you who the... who the corporate sponsors are, well, we don't have any there. No, we don't have any corporate sponsors. And so instead, we send out thanks to the people, all of you, who keep this program on the air and have kept this program on the air for so very, very long. And so that means thanks very kindly to our 20th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Reverbo, the Human Man. Thank you to Unbillable Rick. Thank you to Armand. Thank you to Vincent. Thank you to Dr. John in New Mexico. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you also very much. By the way, thank you to Jessica yesterday evening, finishing off the last $6 of Steve's Daniel Radcliffe is Hot challenge. Jessica adding, although personally speaking, Daniel is cute, and I'll give him credit for he and his fellow cast members speaking out against J.K. Rowling and her transphobic TERF hatred, but he's no Ryan Reynolds. Or Benedict Cumberbatch. Jessica, you're getting a little stalky. Yep. And thanks very kindly to Henry. Thank you, Henry. Henry took our fundraising goal, which previously, as of yesterday evening, was standing at $1,318. And it's now down to, let's see, goodness me, $1,268. We get strange numbers to deal with. So we're at $1,268 to finish the week's fundraising. If we want to add in Monday, which is my last day on the air for the month of August, then it's $1,568. Okay. And there's good news. There are two challenges on the table. First of all, Chris in Germany reached out to me and offered up a $300 challenge. It's the Greg Abbott ha 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 challenge. Because, you know, he doesn't have any symptoms, but he's got the Rona, and he's freaking out and trying to get the Regeneron, and getting the Regeneron cocktail because he's Greg Abbott. And by the way, kudos to our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor, who has given us a new name for the governor of Texas. And it's creative, and it's lovely, and it's hilarious. And I can't thank her enough. She also gave us, Clanny Oakley for Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. Yes, the new name of the governor of Texas is, wait for it, Greg Asbot. Yeah, do you love that? Because I love that. Greg Asbot. And thank you, Joy, because I can't think of a better term for him. Greg Asbot. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling there will be some amens and hallelujahs and you go girls popping in via email fairly shortly. And then there's another challenge on the table. And it is the, wait for this, Rico is so good with these. Hey, Robin, my queen. Hi. I'm putting up a $100 the world is an absolute clusterfuck challenge, and I'll add an extra $100 when it's met. Hope this helps as you trek into the COVIDiot wilds of Talibanistan. Love you, my sister. Rico, in the blessedly unbenighted burg. Thank you, Rico. That is tremendously helpful, and thank you, Chris, for your help. So, that's basically a 2-to-1 challenge, courtesy of Rico. If we can raise a quick $100, then Rico will triple your money. You know, your 10 will become not 20, but 30. So the world is an absolute clusterfuck challenge is on the table, as is the ha-ha-ha-ha-ha Greg Asbot challenge. And those two together, if met, let's see. Well, that would knock down Cyprin here. So that's carry the 12. That would knock down $900 of the fundraising goal, and that would be tremendous. So maybe we can jump on that fairly quickly. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. You guys are inspiring and humbling. And I have a feeling we're going to have a rollicking Friday on the front porch. Megan got us started earlier with a story I had not, in fact, seen. Where'd it go? Dadgummit. Okay, I got to check. Nope, didn't go there. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs has responded, so that'll knock down. We got $75 to go on the World is an Absolute Clusterfuck Challenge. And now it's my 20 could become 60 if others kick in as well. So now we are down to, thank you, Jeremy, in Vermont. We're down to $55 to go on the World is an Absolute Clusterfuck Challenge. Thank you. Where did... doggone it. Okay, let's search. I had this story up, and it was like it disappeared because it seems like a good place to start. Ah, there it is. Did we already discuss this on the show? Came in this morning. The story, of course, comes out of Muzuppistan, where 5 children have already died because Muzuppistan Governor Colonel Taint Reeves doesn't give a flying fuck about the people of his state because he cares about small government conservatism and liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. You remember a long time ago, not that long ago, when a man died and his wife of long standing wound up in the hospital because Nitwit Nero told them to use hydroxychloroquine, and they found out that it happens to be an ingredient in aquarium cleaner. Mm-hmm. So they both took some to fend off the Rona. He died, and she wound up permanently injured. Well, it's kind of like that. We've been talking about this particular topic for a little while now. Ooh, that's good, too. Scary Jerry. Not mine, praise be to Reddit. As a five-decade immigrant, I've always been fascinated by the worst in American English as prefaced by four letters. Dorona, for instance. Da cops, da AIDS. Yeah. You get the idea, says Scary Jerry. But here, yeah, okay, this is good. To go alongside Greg Asbot. Mm-hmm. Florida Governor Rona death sentence. DeSantis death sentence. Whew, that's something. Goodness gracious sakes alive. That is good. But anyway, back to the story that Megan brought to my attention. Because, wow. So first it was aquarium cleaner. And now health officials in Mississippi say that one person has been hospitalized for, and because it's journalism, you have to say allegedly, injecting a medicine used on livestock to treat COVID-19. Now, that's kind of a sloppy sentence. It's not a medicine used on livestock to treat COVID-19 in livestock, because that's what it sounds like. No, they used a medicine used on livestock to treat what they thought was their COVID-19, and it put them in the hospital because they injected it. Yeah, the Mississippi Free Press and the Washington Post both reported that this particular maggot dipshit, sorry, I mean, help me here. Do we feel sorry for these people? There's still some little corner of my being that feels pity for anyone so benightedly stupid. Remember, Rico's beloved bird is unbenighted. The same cannot be said of Mississippi Stan. Well, this individual, I guess, mainlined some ivermectin. You know, horse paste, sheep dip. Mm-hmm. The Mississippi Free Press said they didn't know if the person in question is a resident of Mississippi and didn't know what their current condition was. And the FDA has been doing all it can to tell people, hey, maggots, stupid people, don't take horse paste for COVID-19, no matter how many sketchy, skeevy Trump cult assholes tell you to. The FDA has received multiple reports of patients who have required medical support and been hospitalized after self-medicating with ivermectin intended for horses. I mean, did these people know anything at all about titration or about not taking medicine for horse? I mean, don't we remember angel dust? Angel dust came to prominence as it's a horse tranquilizer, right? Ivermectin tablets, the FDA said, are approved at precise doses for some parasitic worms, and there are topical formulations for head lice and skin conditions like rosacea. Ivermectin is not an antiviral, a drug for treating viruses. And it's also used to treat, you know, horses and sheep. Stay out of the sheep dip. Right. But facts, science, no. It matters nothing to a maggot. I mean, they don't say that it's a maggot in this news story. But how is it not a maggot? I mean, is there just some innocent doofus out there that says, hey, I've heard about taking horse paste for the Rona. I think I got the Rona. Where's the horse paste? I don't think so. I can't see it work being that way. You? Well, maybe we'll talk about it on the front porch in a little bit. Good God. And yes, I mean, Rico really nailed it. The world is a giant clusterfuck. Meanwhile, Nero's been sending out petty, pouty little grudge tweets.
Afghanistan under Biden was not a withdrawal. It was a surrender. Will he apologize for the greatest tactical mistake in history, pulling the military out before our citizens?
Probably not, because the mess was made and created by you, dipshit. and he was merely following through on the deal you cut, dumbass. And I can only assume that Joey and Giraffe are at a ball game or something this evening, or traveling. I don't have a journal this evening. But, well, we've got plenty to talk about. And let's deal with a follow-up story, shall we? What was it, a couple of days ago that we were talking about the upcoming maggot rally in Coleman? Well, apparently, the people who are actually duty-bound and oath-charged with managing and taking care of the people of Coleman County, in Coleman County, Alabama. Now, we're not talking about state government, because state government doesn't give a flying fuck. But the Coleman City Council had a specially called meeting last night, or yesterday morning, rather. And even before the first maggot can yell, "Trump's still president," they declared a state of emergency in Coleman's city limits. And they declared that state of emergency not specifically on account of the maggot rally, but partially. And what I mean by that is Coleman is burning up with the Rona. It's awful. It remains a pandemic largely of the unvaccinated. And remember, Alabama is deeply unvaccinated. Coleman County, Alabama, has no ICU beds left. No. So because they declared a state of emergency, the city can now provide additional personnel and equipment. What? Yeah. To support the maggot rally this weekend. Oh, God. Because Coleman is on the hook, as is every place that Nitwit Nero goes, on the hook to provide first responders, security, and, well, of course they won't be paid back because he stiffs everybody. There, God only knows how many municipalities trying to get money out of the Nitwit Nero bunch, having bankrupted themselves, trying to provide security for his gang of worshiping, grunting, hooting, barking, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing freaks. Technically, this rally is hosted by the Alabama Republican Party. But, well, Coleman is on the hook. Nisha Donaldson is the chief operating officer of Coleman Regional Hospital. And she wrote a letter to the Coleman City Council begging for the help. She said the hospital is overcrowded. The hospital has bed shortages, labor shortages, and the Coleman EMS is strained to the breaking point. That little hospital, as of Wednesday afternoon, has 56 COVID-19 patients. 12 of them are on vents. And out of 1,562 ICU units in the entire state of Alabama, 1,562 are filled. There are no ICU beds left in Alabama. The city attorney for Coleman, Luke Satterfield, said Coleman will be providing fire, EMT, and police personnel to handle some of the health issues that are bound to arise at the maggot rally, things like dehydration. The city of Coleman's going to pony up for a 20 by 40 foot tent, as well as a generator and air conditioning for the rally. In other words, the taxpayers, even the taxpayers who don't like Nitwit Nero, they're on the hook for this scam. Satterfield said, "We want to prevent as many non-COVID-related things as possible so our hospital can use its resources to focus on the pandemic and its variants. We don't want to put any extra strain on them." Mm-hmm. Now, here's where the little more journalism would have been helpful. you may recall a couple of nights ago when I was talking about this, where the hell are they going to hold this? High school gym? Football field? Coleman County High School? What? No. They're holding it at a place called York Farms. York Farms. And just last week, they had a super spreader event, some sort of humongous concert. And it was apparently very well attended by the maggots, the mask holes, the COVIDiots, and the spread necks. And so now Coleman County is already facing a massive super spreader occurrence. And of course, the people came from all over. And then they took the disease home with them. Hard to tell, really, considering the way that Alabama is right now. Yeah. So it might be kind of interesting from a journalism standpoint. You know, this comes from the Coleman paper, the Coleman Times. They're a Tribune content agency company who distributes them. And so maybe people in Coleman County already know this, but who owns York Farms? And why are they hosting super spreader events? Well, I mean, the short answer is because capitalism. Of course. But isn't it about time that people be publicly called out for hosting these damn things? I got nothing. I mean, is anybody... Is there something going on in Alabama? Has the legislature done something and been signed into law by Governor Meemaw that says that owners of places like York Farms, who deliberately host events that inexorably spread COVID-19 far and wide, bear no legal liability? Because there's a lot of lawsuits and a lot of jury verdicts, big jury verdicts, in Alabama. Oh, well, Nitwit Nero will be there, and his adoring worshipers will be so happy to hear him give the same goddamn speech that he's been giving for the last 5 years. You know, maybe with a little bit of new material.
Yeah, sleepy Joe Biden fell asleep at the switch on Afghanistan. This never happened on my watch.
No, you negotiated the withdrawal and you bragged about it, you dumbass. So, I don't know. We can talk about that. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Let's see, York Family Farms. Ross York of Coleman, Alabama. Thank you, Ralphs. Serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Subtotal, farming subsidies in Coleman County, Alabama, 1995 to 2020. Ross York of Coleman, Alabama, raked in $105,000 and change in subsidies. We don't know that that's the same guy. But I bet you there's some enterprising plaintiff's lawyer feverishly, again, unless the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Alabama legislature has provided immunity for anybody who wants to host a super spreader event. I will not be watching this. Nope. I absolutely will not be watching this. Oh, and we've got a follow-up to yesterday's attempted Library of Congress bomber. You know, it says something that he targeted a library. I seem to recall there was another political movement, 90 years ago or so, that had a thing for destroying books. Right? Yeah. Well, it turns out that North Carolina resident Floyd Ray Roseberry. Floyd Ray! Get you in your pickup truck right over here right now, little mister. Yep, Floyd Ray had an initial appearance hearing in D.C. today. He showed up with his public defender. And he explained to the court that, he hadn't taken his medication for 2 days. So that would be today and yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he described his medication as blood pressure meds and mind medicine. And he went on to tell the court that his wife has power of attorney over his medication. He said, you know, my memory ain't very good. But he can't remember a blessed thing of what he did yesterday. Mind medicine? Now, it's entirely possible this guy is suffering from some sort of mental illness. But I'm willing to go the extra step and just posit a possible alternative answer here. If you dig around enough, you will find that everything, we've said it for years now that anything that a maggot or Trump says is pure projection. It's either something they've already, if they say it about the about us or about the other side or their opponent, then they've either already done what they're complaining about or they're about to do what they're complaining about. And the wackadoodle stuff you can find out there, for instance, and what I'm getting at is, what do you want to bet that somewhere out in the filthy corners of the right wing swamp net, somebody's posted something at 4chan or 8chan or over on Gitter or one of the other various and sundry toxic places where maggots go and crawl around? How to set up your insanity plea when you attack America to save America? Yeah, tell them you're on mind medicine. Tell them you ain't taking your medicine in a couple of days. Tell them your memory ain't very good. Yeah. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. It's possible. But he will at least stay in pretrial detention for the near future, at least. And he's not getting out right yet, at least not until he enters a guilty plea and is sentenced to $500 restitution and maybe 20 hours of community service. Possible, you think? Maybe? Well, we'll see how. We'll see how that continues to play out. Mind medicine. Yeah. But y'all, they're going to do it again. Okay? A group of Marines and other people, namely Paul James, Chris Cook, age 35, Liam Collins, age 21, Jordan Duncan, age 26, and Joseph Marino, age 22, were charged via a third superseding indictment obtained in the Eastern District of North Carolina, according to prosecutors in the case. Liam Collins and Jordan Duncan are both former Marines. they had been at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. And the thing is, they are all of these clowns, dangerous clowns, charged with trying to bomb an energy facility, a power plant, in the United States. They wanted to bring down the power grid. Mm-hmm. They also face charges of conspiring to manufacture, transport, and sell hard-to-obtain firearms and firearm parts in a way that the federal government, so the federal government wouldn't see it. That's not hard to do. Sell it at a gun show or a peer-to-peer transaction. Yeah. The previous indictments alleged that Collins and Kriska were members of and made multiple posts on the Iron March Forum, which is a place where the human filth that our neo-Nazis gather to grunt and complain. Mm-hmm. That was until the forum got shut down in 2017. Well, oh well. I mean, what's a little plot to bomb the power grid among patriots? Yeah. Oh, and speaking of patriots, you knew this was bound to happen. Where'd it go? There we go. Of course, this is a Marjorie Traitor gangrene cue ball story. One of her fans, interviewed by CNN's Donnie O'Sullivan this week. Well, he had an idea dawn on him. You'll recall yesterday we had the 4-second audio of Marjorie Traitor gangrene cue ball calling President Joseph R. Biden a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And she held a barking and grunting and hooting and larping and smollicking and gravelating event in Iowa last night. So CNN sent Donnie O'Sullivan to talk to some of the goons and the freaks and the knuckle walkers and the mouth breathers.
You know, there's parts of the country now where you can't go into restaurants, bars, unless you're vaccinated.
I don't need restaurants and bars. Hell, I don't drink. I don't need to go to a restaurant. I go shoot my dinner.
Yeah.
Just saying. There's millions of guns here. It took 11 days for them to take over Afghanistan. Wonder how many days. Just ask for a friend how many days it take the Patriots to take over this country. Think about it.
You don't want that to happen here,
I don't want it to happen, but if our country and our government and our Congress and Biden and them don't get their heads out of their butt, it's going to happen. I assure you. It's coming. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm not going to get vaccinated. Our days are numbered. It don't matter whether it's COVID or I can get in that truck and go over down the highway and get hit by a semi or T-bone and killed. It don't matter.
Hmm.
You know, life is what it is. You know, we take it how God gives it to us.
But you wear a seatbelt, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So, that's
but there's a 50-50 chance that that'll save you or it won't save you.
No, that's not true. They're Cephas.
But isn't that sort of like taking a vaccine? You take the steps. To protect yourself when you can?
No.
So there we go. You caught the early part of it. It took 11 days for them to take over Afghanistan. How many days would it take the Patriots to take over this country? Because these people think that they are Patriots. They think that overturning the Constitution of the United States and the civil governance of the United States is an act of patriotism when that is the exact opposite of the definition. Y'all, they're gonna do it again. Oh, my God. My God. And so, just a reminder, because it would be neat if we could at least meet one of the challenges in the first hour of the program, $55 remain on Rico in the Unbenighted Bergs challenge. You know, the world is a complete clusterfuck challenge. And it ain't just Afghanistan. Oh, no. It's Iowa. Sorry, Frank. Oh, goodness me.
it again. Yep.
And we're still finding out, although, you know, only 570 people have been charged out of the more than 10,000 people who participated in the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. Scott McFarlane for NBC News, and he's been tasked with covering the assault on the Capitol. Well, he noted that several people would be in court today. And the federal government went inspecting some of the phones from members of the Oath Keepers. And found out that in their little election night chat, some of the Oath Keepers were talking about a shooting spree. A shooting spree. And they had an idea where they wanted to begin their shooting spree. Nancy Pelosi first. Or, as the Republicans have taken to pronouncing her name, Pelosi. One Colorado man was charged with sending a text about putting a bullet in Pelosi. Another maggot from the greater Chicagoland area actually left a voicemail message about killing Democrats on Inauguration Day. Mirabile dictu, one federal judge ordered a dude by the name of Thomas Ballard to await trial from the sneezer. He's a Texas man who, according to allegations, went after Capitol Police with a ball bat. Yeah, that was Thomas Ballard of Texas beat police with a black police baton. And he was caught, and you know, people doing the job of the FBI for them. Yeah, citizens going over the videos identified him. And one goon by the name of Joseph Hackett, an Oath Keeper. He's also being held in the cooler. Among other things, when the hotel he stayed in, he made a point of covering his face to keep surveillance cameras from seeing him. Mm-hmm. It was the same hotel where the Quick Reaction Force was to be gathered if they needed to send reinforcements during the Capitol attack. Oath Keeper Joseph Hackett was found to have a burner phone instead of it, because he turned his own iPhone off while he was in the insurrectionist gang on Capitol Hill. And instead of staying right in D.C., they stayed across the river in Virginia, waiting to be called for their Quick Reaction Force. Wow. They're going to do it again. They're going to do it again. And take over the country, Steve in New York says, let's look at this. The Taliban took over in 11 days against an army that just dropped their weapons. These yahoos think they're going to fight successfully against a well-equipped army that won't lay down its arms, has tanks, Humvees, airplanes, and helicopters. The only thing their takeover will have in common with the Taliban is it will take them 11 minutes to shit their pants and start sucking their thumbs like children. Well, they didn't shit their pants on January 6th. The video makes clear that they meant to do wicked things. If this is Floyd Ray Roseberry we're talking about, Megan said earlier in regard to the Floyd Ray Roseberry story, I heard he was divorced 2 years ago because he beat his wife and was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenic. Can anyone confirm this? Well, let's see. Maybe the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department can dig into that. Lee, as to Floyd Ray Roseberry, said he may not have known what he was doing driving to D.C. with bomb parts, but he knew what he was doing when he bought the bomb parts. Because generally speaking, you don't just have the necessaries for a bomb laying around the house. I mean, yes, I mean, the tanks of propane, sure. But, you know, 20 pounds of Tannerite? I don't know. He targeted a library? Roseberry did? Flavio, can you say Boko Haram? Yeah, them too, and they're not 90 years ago. Merca. Hell yeah. I have a feeling the evening's going to be pretty much kind of like this. And on and on and on. Oh, and speaking of that little that political movement of 90 years ago. Well, now. It turns out we found out a little something about another maggot. Vice News had the story. We found out who one of the most popular QAnon Q-balls is. One of the people who's driving a driving force behind all the Q-ball paranoia. He's got over 330,000 followers on Telegram. Right. The fact checker outfit Logically managed to identify this cat who calls himself Ghost Ezra. It will come as no surprise that he is, of course, a maggot. And he comes from where? Why, Florida, of course. Boca Raton. Maggot Donald Trump worshiper Robert Randall Smart, ironically named. And one of the reasons that so many people follow Ghost Ezra is because he's really, really big into anti-Semitism. According to the report from Logically, he is the most extreme and arguably the most influential such figure that the investigative team has uncovered to date. And in the Vice article, they say that he is apparently married. He has one son. He appears to have operated a number of online businesses, including as an Amazon reseller, selling everything from dog food to garden equipment. And naturally, back last October, he attended a maggot rally. And an Orlando Sun Sentinel reporter interviewed him, at which point he began to bark and hoot and grunt and carry on all about socialism. It starts small, a little bit here and a little bit there, and then it turns into Venezuela. Jesus. I know. And let's see, what else has Ghost Ezra burbled about? Well, all about how the Jews, I do that for Brother Deacon Asa, control Big Pharma, and they also control the media. And of course, it wouldn't be a proper anti-Semitic, ugly, hateful rant if it didn't also include the Jews controlling central banking.
But he's not a piker, Ghost Ezra. No, he runs the full gamut. He says that Jews were the cause of both world wars. And then there's people who identify as Jewish but are not actually even Jews, and they want total world domination and control. And he makes sure that the people of like mind who follow him go to neo-Nazi propaganda sites, up to and including a film that is 12 hours long, and says that, again, the Jews done invented communism so that they could have total world domination. Because that's one of the central points of Q-ballism, is it's a way to sell people on anti-Semitism without anti-Semitism being the central tenet. Because Q can be anything, and then you just wrap in whatever it is you want people to believe, and, well, there's a certain contingent of the American body politic who will believe it because they yearn to believe it, they ache to believe it. Amarnath Amarasingam is an assistant professor in the School of Religion at Queen's University. And he said that Ghost Ezra served as an ideal venue for further radicalization of disenchanted QAnon adherents. For one, the faction who follow him closely will be drawn deeper into his ideological bubble, which consists of anti-trans, anti-vax, anti-Semitic, and white nationalist content. Second, once these sorts of views become normalized and become part of your everyday consumption, it's not difficult to find other channels and groups on Telegram that are much darker and more dangerous. And I guess we can't do much of anything about these people, because we've got this fetishized approach to the First Amendment. And it may wind up being our undoing. But we can complain about it without the government suppressing our speech all the way. I guess that makes us feel better. I guess. Anyway, if you want to get all the gory details, it's over at vice.com. Look up, just search for Ghost Ezra, E-Z-R-A, and it should pop right up. And you know, of course, that the maggots have been and the cue balls have been barking and grunting and hooting about who killed poor Ashley Babbitt. They bumped her off. She was murdered. Yeah, no. Sorry. Didn't work that way. Because an independent internal investigation has now cleared the Capitol Police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt, no matter how much people like Lauren Bobblehead Boobert and Marjorie Trader Gangrene Q-Ball and the rest of them piss and moan. NBC News reported the story. The Capitol Police's Office of Personal Responsibility cleared the officer and said no further action will be taken in this matter. And what, 4 months ago, the Department of Justice said, no, I'm not going to be, we're not going to, not going to charge. And so they went, it's kind of a first, because this is a complete exoneration, as in not in any wise culpable whatsoever. And one of the things that's driving the maggots crazy is that they still don't know the name of the officer in question, because they would very much like to kill him. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. But the Capitol Police understand if they disclose his name, he's pretty much a dead man. Because our country is such a hot, hot mess. As to veiled anti-Semitism. Oh yeah, says Brother Deacon Asa. Well, allow me to introduce you to QAnon's house Hebrews. QAnon Jews, how an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory is infiltrating Israel. Haaretz, in an opinion column, says the theory about a satanic cabal based on one of the world's oldest, most lethal anti-Semitic libels is localizing itself to make inroads into the Orthodox Jewish community in the U.S., and now increasingly in Israel. Well, of course. I mean, remember, there are ultra-Orthodox Jews who, rabbis, who are absolutely convinced that the state of Israel is actually an affront to the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. They, among other, let's see, they were honored guests several years ago when Iran held some sort of a conference in Tehran. No, really. Now, thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for jumping in this evening. We are down to $30 to go on the world is a complete clusterfuck challenge. Thank you so very much. $30, and then we're done with that, and then lo and behold, we can start on the Greg Abbott challenge, or Assbot, as we call him now. Thank you, Elizabeth. And we're getting close to the top of the hour, and that means we'll be going over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree, where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday to wrap up the week. And looks like we've got the beginnings of a good crowd. And we'll see what's on folks' minds here shortly. I'm going to read the rest of that article later. That's just, you know, nuts. Oh, what else? Because there's so much else. Okay, we can have a little giggle about this. Oh, of course, who's... Holy Mother Church is having a bit of a conniption right now, according to a New York Times story. I don't think they filed this under breaking news, because it's hardly news at all. That is, to wit, an outfit, a publication called The Pillar, issued a report, and they charged, I mean, not in a formal legal way, but they said that Monsignor Jeffrey Burrill we talked about this. He was General Secretary of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. He had a thing for cruising Grindr to find people to have sex with. See, once again, it's not about to gay. It's about to hypocrisy. And once Mother Church, Holy Mother Church, started digging around, they found that it wasn't one priest, but rather priests, plural, who were cruising Grindr. And the report has, quote, unnerved the leadership of the American Catholic Church and have introduced a potentially powerful new weapon into the culture war between supporters of Pope Francis and his conservative critics. And the church is said to be upset. Note the non-use of the word surprised. To find out that clergy members are breaking their vows of chastity and running over to Grindr. Cardinal Joseph W. Tobin of the Archdiocese of Newark said, "If someone who has made promise of celibacy or a vow of chastity has a dating app on his or her phone, that's asking for trouble." From the department of Archbishop Obvious. I would also say that I think there are very questionable ethics around the collection of this data of people who allegedly may have broken their promises. Oh, wait. He thinks that people who put Grindr on their phone are asking for trouble, but at the same time, he doesn't like the fact that the church went nosing around trying to find the priests who were putting Grindr on their phone to... Right. Mm-hmm. Sounds like maybe, just possibly, Cardinal Joseph W. Tobin of Newark might be... Where's my goddamn phone? And Mother Mary Meek and Mild... How do I get a goddamn app off my phone? Stop it! Mm-hmm. John Gehring is the Catholic Program Director at Faith in Public Life, and he said... When there is reporting out there that claims to expose activity like this in parishes around the country and also on Vatican grounds, that's a five-alarm fire for church officials, no doubt about it. Well, now. But the pillar used cell phone data and tracked some priests. Even though church officials told priests in that diocese in Newark not to speak to journalists. Yeah. The editor, J.D. Flynn, said, immoral and illicit sexual behavior on the part of clerics who are bound to celibacy, but also on the part of other church leaders could lead to a broad sense of tolerance for any number of kinds of sexual sins. Well, yeah, maybe 1,000 years from now, the church will finally get around to realizing that they did the Catholic priesthood did not start out celibate. Absolutely did not. It's rather of a modern, within the terms of the church, a modern hang-up. And it's the prohibition. It's just like it used to be with weed. The weed's not the problem. The prohibition creates the problem. There can be... You've got people who might otherwise be good priests. And human beings, generally speaking, are not meant to be celibate. Consent is everything. Oh, well, you know. Here's hoping Archbishop Tobin finally got Grindr off of his phone. Mm-hmm. It's not a five-alarm fire, says Stephen, New York, because everyone knows three-quarters of the Curia is gay. Mm-hmm. And back to Ashley Babbitt, noting, I just got an idea for my new mask and T-shirt. Ashley Babbitt was a traitor. I wish I'd pulled the trigger. Not because I wish I had, but it'll drive the Trumpistas crazy. And somebody might take a swing at you, brother. You know, I'd think about that a little bit first. And going back to the anti-Semitism of the QAnon goober, Ron in Raleigh says, can I get a copy of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion from Ghost Ezra's website asking for a confused friend? I wouldn't be surprised if you could. Okay, let's run on over and check in with Sparky over in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves as he sits in the seat of honor around the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Robin.
How are
Sorry
you?
Sorry I missed your cue.
Oh, that's okay. I was a couple of minutes early.
Right. I was away from here for just sat back down. And Steve starts texting me.
Wasn't me. You better look again.
Hey, I don't.
Oh, it was Roger. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't want any. I don't want any fighting up in here. Y'all settle that amongst yourselves.
Yeah, gripe at Roger now. I told him. I said he won't gripe at you.
But no worries. So it's nasty and smoky there today, Sparky.
Yeah, unhealthy air quality as usual.
Yeah, don't you be making trouble, Steve. I heard you giggle.
But at least it's not so damn hot.
Yeah, it finally got hot here today after finally the last of that hurricane passed through. It's a toasty 81 degrees in the Fabulous Horn Studios right now. A little uncomfortable.
I got to answer the phone.
Talk to me, Steve. You got a vamp.
Robin, what's up, man? Woman, ma'am,
babe,
babe, hot lady. I mean,
that's
so
enough.
Many different, so many different things I could put in there, you know. How you doing?
Let's
friend?
Not put anything in anywhere, okay? Shall we? Not.
All right. Yeah.
Well there we are. 3 minutes into the second hour of the program, and we've steered the program into the gutter. I mean, knew it was going to happen, didn't we?
I'm referring to the vernacular sense, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. The ecumenical, even. Yeah.
What a discouraging week. Nothing but Afghanistan all week, as we predicted. And it's taken so many important headlines away. You know, the insurrection, COVID is out of control. Everybody in Georgia's got it. My neighbor's got it. I mean, it's really getting bad here.
Have you? Tell me you haven't.
No, I don't. I've been vaxxed, so I don't know. I could have it, but I haven't been texted because I don't feel sick.
Okay, I've got a question for the community, sure. And I would appreciate some input. If you were me, and you had an opportunity to get a third shot, because I've been thinking about this for a while, my second dose was April the 1st. But if you were me, and you had an opportunity to get a second shot, would you get it? I mean, a third shot. Like, say, before I get it, before I get on the road.
I don't think you'll be able to get one.
Well, that's not what I asked. If you were me, and you had a chance to get a third shot, would you?
Going where you're going, Robin? I would consider it. I mean, it goes against science. It's probably not recommended. They say to wait 9 months after your second dose, which
eight.
In your case would be
eight
around
months.
December.
Eight
Is it eight? Okay, eight. So in Robin's case, that'd be what?
December 1. But there are already some people who are, I mean, it's not necessarily 8 months for some people, I understand.
Well, there's no set rule. Everybody's different, I would think.
And there's a good bit of data. There's a good bit of data on third shots rolling out of Israel. And of course, we had the story the other night that Chris in Germany provided me about that wonderful word, Kreuzgefimpt, or Kreuzgefimpt, I think. And they say that you know, mixing your doses, like, you know, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, or Pfizer, Moderna, they think in Germany provides some greater benefit, you know. And we're not talking about some guy who's doing their medical research on the Google. I'm sorry, you know, dare Google.
But keep the record straight. That's keeping the J&J out of the equation, correct?
Correct.
That
would be used. And, well, basically, it boils down to Pfizer and Moderna.
Yes.
I caught the other, just, I think it was last night, the night before, the idea that 8 months is, don't panic if you can't get it in 8 months. Anything between 8 and 12 is fine. But the reason they're waiting for the 8 month is to try to settle things out and get the distributions down correctly so that they don't have a big heavy-duty rush right away. And so
yeah, it's not biochemical. It's logistical.
Well, yeah, logistical. And in my case, I'm going to be in D.C. when my 8 months are up. And what I don't know yet is whether or not the VA is so well connected that when I'm in D.C. on September 20th, I think is my, yeah, that would be my 8 month date, whether or not I would be able to walk into a VA clinic in D.C. and say, hey, folks, my 8 months is here. It's time for my shot, on whether or not I'd be able to get it. And I won't be getting back here to Oregon until October, which pushes me out a little. Actually, November, which pushes me out to month 11 instead of month 10. So anyhow, but the idea was
you ought to be able to walk into any CVS or anywhere with your vaccine card and get a third shot if your 8 months is up.
Okay, thank you. But anyhow, this 8 month number isn't apparently cast in stone, because it varies, and it's very variable upon how your body reacted. And I'm not talking about whether you got sick or not, but whether or not in your blood the amount of quasi-immunity you have varies from person to person. And they've picked an 8 month number as kind of a middle ground of, some people should have got it earlier, some people could go a lot longer, but that 8 month line seems to be a good medium.
So how do you vote, Roger, in our little hypothetical?
Well, if I could get my third shot right now, I'd jump on it.
Okay.
I even considered, because I got the Moderna, and when I got it at the VA, they did not share records with Oregon. And I contemplated going into a pharmacy, if I could find one, that had the Pfizer, and tell them, okay, I finally decided I better get vaccinated, and go ahead and walk in and do a double dose of Pfizer. And the reason I'm saying that is when the polio vaccine first came out, I'd already had polio in 1953, so we're back to 1955. And I remember my mother taking me down to the doctor to get a polio shot. And I asked the doctor specifically, I've already had polio, why do I need a goddamn shot? And he told me, there are 7 different kinds of polio. You have one of them, and the one you got was a weak strain. There are stronger ones, and this shot, 6. Now, my hope is that the new shots, between Pfizer and Moderna, would pick up some differences between the two of them. So if I were to have my choice, I'd get a Pfizer third shot instead of a Moderna third shot.
Well, I was Pfizer, and I was hoping maybe to get a Moderna.
But then with all the people that aren't even vaccinated, I'd rather see somebody else get vaccinated before I get a third shot. But on the other hand, if they've got surplus vaccine, I'm putting it in my arm instead of seeing it go in a garbage can.
And that was my thought, because one of the I'm absolutely understanding of what Steve in New York's saying. Too many people don't have any shots in other countries. That's absolutely true. But remember, the state of Alabama threw some 30,000 shots away a couple of weeks ago. They damn sure didn't pack them up and send it to some unvaccinated quarter of the world. And we're not exactly knocking down doors to get vaccinated here either. And so that shit will be destroyed. And a couple of people have pointed out, if you could get it, it's not you'll feel like crap on the road, Tom in Smoky San Rafael says, and it's a while until it really takes effect. So there's that too. Meanwhile, Bernadette says, "Vax vote, yes, Robin. You should get it whenever you can. There are COVIDiots everywhere." Well, I'm going somewhere where you can't swing a rubber chicken without hitting a COVIDiot, or a mask hole, or a spread neck.
They're thick in that part of the country, my man.
Worse than where you are.
My lady friend. Oh, yeah, worse. I don't know. These people are ghouls. They're into death. I thought they were the party of life.
Well, that's you know, I tuned into my filthy morning habit this morning.
So ironic, man.
I tuned into my filthy morning habit this morning, Steve. And I caught, I forget what the New York Times reporter's name is, but he was referring to the Taliban, and he said, "Oh, no, I think it was Wee Willie Geist who said, "Oh, you know, the Taliban are basically a medieval torture cult." I'm like, have you met a maggot? Ever? You paying attention, Will?
Not much of a difference there, Willie.
Nidia just told me the health department is already offering it here. You can have your immunity tested at LabCorp. They're having a clinic tomorrow from 9 to 2, first come, first served. Is that county immediately to the west of my county, Nidia? And where is that specifically? Because if I could do it over the weekend, then I've got a couple of days to feel like crap before I hit the road on Tuesday. Okay, so it is that county. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Nidia. That tells me everything I need to know.
Can I chime in, Robin?
Yeah, sure. Asgard Rick, it's been a little while.
Yeah, I've been a little under the weather. How have you been doing? And also, this whole Afghanistan thing was a little fucking rough.
I know some Afghan vets who are really, really having a hard time of it, so I get it.
Yeah, honestly, I knew this shit was going to happen when I was over there in 08.
Well, I've never been in under the colors or anything, but the fact of the matter is, anybody with half a brain knows that we lost it when we started it.
No, from a military standpoint is when we invaded Iraq. Because we had to...
That's the Pentagon excuse, but... We lost it when we started it, because there was no, I mean, unless you're going to depopulate the country, you know, Roman style, you're not going to change hearts and minds. We thought we learned that shit in Vietnam.
Well, I meant the military mission was lost when we went to Iraq, not the beginning. The military mission against the Al-Qaeda itself was lost the moment we lost momentum. We had momentum up until that point. They were actually engaging us up until we invaded Iraq and pulled our troops out. We pulled two-thirds of the soldiers in Afghanistan that we had in there out of there, leaving a token force behind because Donald Rumsfeld or some other panjandrum in the fucking Pentagon was convinced that we had beaten them, when in reality we just severed their communication lines and cut them off from every other terrorist network. If we kept going, they were still fighting us as an open army at that time. They hadn't done this guerrilla war fighting thing. We knew where all of their leaders were, we knew where their armies were, and we knew where their strongholds were. The moment we pulled out, they scattered like cockroaches the moment you turn on the lights in New York and ran in every conceivable direction and reestablished all of their networks. By the time we went back in there to try to unfuck the situation about 2 years later and started doing all of these surges, they were actually bringing in more fighters per month than we were flying into the country. Most of them coming from other countries that up until that point didn't have any connection with them. George W. Bush's pulling out of Afghanistan to invade Iraq indirectly reinvigorated the entire terrorist network the world over. Not just Islamic terrorism, but every major terrorist network suddenly realized that in order to fight a modern global power, we have to work together. And us letting up on
Rick,
basically
you,
allowed
them
to consolidate.
I've got a question. Have you ever run across any numbers regarding how many of them we killed? I mean, I saw that stunning little statistic the other day that we... That 66,000 members of the Afghan National Army were killed over the last 20 years. That's about 3,300 a year.
Roughly. And the thing is that a lot of them weren't even people in the Afghan National Army. A lot of them were ghost soldiers who would give a fake name, fake their own death, get trained after they'd got training from us, and then run back to the Taliban and use our own tactics against us. We just trained them on you with their real identity. And then when new training would have come up, they would pop up again because of the corruption within the ANA. They never caught on to the fact that these people were literally the same person masquerading as like three or four different people to get training and then go back and use our special forces training against us. We basically turned that entire fucking country into SEAL Team Al-Qaeda.
I haven't heard it put that way before, but that's interesting.
And on top of that, a lot of the deaths that we were recording, once we started doing biometric testing, we were finding out 90% of them were coming from Saudi fucking Arabia. If we had actually killed every single terrorist in Afghanistan that was there when we went in there, it would only amount to about maybe 70% of the total casualties that were recorded by Al-Qaeda during our first 10 years in that country.
Now, hold on just a minute. You mean Saudi Arabia, our partners in peace?
Yeah, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and that whole shtick about them coming from Iran was basically the Republicans trying to set up another forever war. They weren't coming from Iran. They were coming from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and most of our partners in peace, and I say that with air quotes that are damn near invisible. Pretty much every one of our allies in the Middle East, we've basically been bribing them for 70 years not to shoot at us.
And because the Iranians hate those fuckers.
Yeah, they actually keep them under control. There are very few terrorists inside of Iran, and the Iranian intelligence network will actively give information to even their enemies against terrorists because they realize they're that big of a threat.
That's some really insightful observation, Rick.
Quite literally, they will do like the whole thing where they will just have one of their their version of our CIA inside of Iran. They'll literally do everything they can to get another government's attention, and they do that whole just forgetting a file on a park bench thing. Except that file has the name of every terrorist they've identified for like five fucking years. It's now a current problem. And they'll play it off like, oh, that guy was just incompetent. No, they're feeding intel. because they know the it's easier for them to trick a arrogant Western power into fighting these assholes and risking their own soldiers.
No, it's I am not willing to lay this. There are too many damn fuck ups in front of Joe Biden to lay this at his doorstep. I am giving him props for having the nerve to say enough is a damn enough. And honestly, I would take it as a favor if these hand wringing, pearl clutching asshole Democrats that are piling on would shut the fuck up.
You and me both, because at the end of the day, whoever it didn't matter whether it was a Democrat or Republican was in office. Someone was going to end up playing musical chairs and not have one at the end of this. And if we had kept dragging this on, eventually the Taliban wasn't going to be as nice as they currently are being because they're letting us evacuate. They have all of our weapons. They have Stinger missiles. They have everything they need to shoot every one of these goddamn planes out of the air. And we technically trained them on how to use them when they were in the ANA. They know how to do all this shit. They know how to do artillery azimuth. They have 3,500 artillery pieces pointed at fucking Bagram. No, on Bagram, pointed at the other FOBs once they capture the damn thing. There are literally hundreds of thousands of pieces of ordnance in this country. The only reason they're not using them to shoot down our planes and kill our army is because they want us out of there, and they know if they do it, we're going to come back in and kick them in the balls again, and it's just going to drag this shit on for another fucking decade, and their entire propaganda victory they're looking at right now disappears.
And I'm sure all those Humvees and MRAPs and Blackhawks, I'm sure they've sort of spirited them away by now.
Oh, there's already pictures of the fucking Taliban repainting the things with the Taliban flag. At the end of the day, we basically armed and reorganized the entire Al-Qaeda under the guise of the ANA and have been sitting there while the Pentagon and the fucking corporations that make money off of this war have been silently masturbating for 20 fucking years on this. They didn't give a shit that we were training the ANA. They were just happy they were buying our shit.
No kidding. Oh, hey, I've got thanks to send out. We are $15 away now from finishing Rico in the Unbenighted Bergs. The world is a global clusterfuck, complete global clusterfuck challenge. $15 away from that, and then we can start on the Greg Abbott challenge, courtesy of Chris in Germany. Thank you, Chris. Different Chris. Thank you, Chris, who responded via Venmo. Thank you very, very much. Flavio with a note earlier said, so much hand-wringing, pearl-clutching over U.S.-Afghanistan pullout, it's almost as if the for-profit media were echoing the view of the contractors who are having a sad that the gravy train is over. Sad.
You don't think Bobblehead and Slit Eye or whatever you call them are heavily leveraged at defense contractors?
Oh.
Come on, man.
No, that's Charlie. That's Charlie Pierce's phrase, squinting the meat puppet.
Squinting the meat puppet. Yeah, that's why they're raising so much hell over this. And I read an interesting article by David Ignatius in the Washington Post. The politicians knew this thing was a lost cause from jump.
What? How do you not?
Right.
The main reason we invaded that country, when you get right down to it, is the heavy metals. That entire country is sitting on top of an untapped plateau.
Lithium.
Literally nothing but
rare earth elements.
Yes. That place is going to be the next Saudi Arabia. And we knew that. Because once we go to electric vehicles and the oil industry goes belly up, that country is basically going to end up being what's going to happen to that country is what happened to Saudi Arabia when oil became a thing.
Oh, and by the way, bad news for the electric vehicle future, at least for one brand. GM is recalling a shit ton of Chevrolet Bolts, not the Volt, the Bolt, the plug-in electric. Yeah, because they have this way of spontaneously combusting.
Oh, so it's a new Pinto.
Great. Yeah, only the Pinto exploded in a massive ball of flame because it had a big old tank full of gasoline.
Exactly. But I'm sorry, I just couldn't let that joke slide. When you get right down to it, this entire thing has been a boondoggle from the beginning because Northrop Grumman and a bunch of these other companies wanted to, A, have a free open playground where they could test out their new weapon systems and then sell them to Middle Eastern countries by deliberately destabilizing the place. And on top of that, they were hoping that at the end of the game of musical chairs, because the biggest problem I've noticed with the higher-ups at the Pentagon, and I've run into a couple in my time, is the fact that we learned the wrong fucking lesson from Vietnam. Instead of learning from Vietnam that we shouldn't get entangled in wars we can't win without a plan to win, they basically just ignored Sun Tzu's The Art of War. We keep going into wars without a plan, without an infrastructure, and without a network to handle them. And on top of that, we always keep going in this cowboy manner by ourselves when literally every war we have ever won is because of our allies, not us. Even World War II. The only reason we won World War II is because we came in as a fresh face at the end of it, and our soldiers were beat down and worn to shit at that point. At that point, the Russians had lost millions, the British had lost hundreds of thousands, and the French had lost hundreds of thousands as well. And that's basically the entire reason we won, is we just happened to come in while everyone else was tired and took credit for the win.
No, there's an element of truth in that, without a doubt.
And literally, we had no plan. That was that whole thing with Donald Rumsfeld talking about, you go in with the army you've got, not the army you want. Sun Tzu would have slapped the shit out of him and beat him unconscious for that sentence.
Well,
because
I mean,
you don't go into a war unprepared. Going into a war unprepared, even Sun Tzu knew this thousands of years ago, means you've already lost.
Yeah, I mean, I've read it, and jeez, Flavio says
blurb in there from Sun Tzu about don't fucking do this shit.
Well, yeah, rule one with Sun Tzu is don't do war.
Yeah, and if you do war, have a fucking plan and make sure your logistics and everything are in place before you start it. Because the moment you start a war, if you're not prepared to win, you've already lost.
And by the way, Flavio says for 20 years, the U.S. trained an army for a nation that didn't exist.
Yeah.
That's a good dollar. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Darlene points out, we have the same situation we always do. Democrats cleaning up the mess Republicans make. Biden, W.
And one thing that always blows my mind, and this is something I learned about when I was in the Army, in the entirety of American history, we've only been at peace for maybe 10 years total in that entire time period. Out of all of those wars we've been involved in, we've only won two. Our Revolution and the World War II. Every other has been a defeat or a draw.
The Civil War was not a draw.
No, I'm talking about foreign wars.
The Mexican War was not a draw.
Technically, they did kind of surrender. They surrendered to basically keep us from taking any more land, yes, but at the end of it, we technically lost a great deal more soldiers than they did and money.
But we went. We went all the way to Mexico City and fought the bloody and vicious battle of Chapultepec.
Yeah, but
I mean that's not fighting at the New Mexico border.
True.
That's that whole Halls of Montezuma thing.
True.
Scott has his hand up.
Go, Scott.
I did kind of forget about the Mexican American War. Sorry about that. Okay, we've won three.
Spanish American War.
Four. But honestly,
yeah. Go ahead, Scott. Scott, go.
Sorry. Sorry, Scott.
Hello. Are we there?
I can hear.
Hello.
You.
Am I coming through?
You're there.
Oh, good. Good. Hi, folks. Happy Friday. I've come in at an opportune time, Robin. And family. I didn't know that we would be talking about this today, but I'm glad we are. Last night, I was flipping through the old YouTube, and what did I find but a two-hour edition of Book Notes, the C-SPAN program that Brian Lamb hosted at the time. It was a two-hour version of edition of Book Notes from 1995, and the guest was there to talk about his book In Retrospect, and the guest was none other than Robert Strange McNamara, the former president of Ford Motor Company and later head of the World Bank, Secretary of Defense, and then later the head of the World Bank. And say what you will about McNamara, I remember I got that book on the basis of that interview, two-hour interview with Brian Lamb, back when it was published in the mid-90s, and I've still got it. I may reread it. But that interview has much to recommend it. On one level, you might say, well, it's just his conscience talking, and it's a big old mea culpa for Vietnam and whatever other horrendous things McNamara oversaw in his various jobs. But on another level, if people who had orchestrated the original invasion of Afghanistan and later Iraq, if the people who had orchestrated that had had sense enough just a few years earlier to read McNamara's book In Retrospect or even watch that two-hour interview, it probably wouldn't have stopped them because they serve higher and richer masters. But maybe the media and maybe the rah-rah yahoos out in America would have had some thoughts about doing what we eventually have done. And after 20 years now, we've seen what has come of it. First of all, and even if you've never heard of Robert McNamara, you've certainly heard of world history. You've certainly heard of Alexander the Great, and more recently, the former Soviet Union, and now currently the U.S. Afghanistan throughout the eons has been nothing more than a three-card Monte game on a card table on a city street somewhere in America. The minute you step up to it and plunk down your money, you've lost. It's a sucker's game, suckers only. Only suckers need apply. And yet, you know, in our invincible mindset, or our mindset of invincibility, we just belly right up to the card table and lay our money down and lives and treasure and fortune and future. But anyway, and body counts count for nothing. I'm old enough to remember Vietnam. Every evening newscast had the ongoing body count. It doesn't mean anything to the people who are making the decisions. So that's my little mini rant.
Well, and well ranted it is.
Thank you.
More than welcome.
Thank you. But I'm telling you, I've watched this thing all week with Afghanistan. And on one level, I'm just heartsick about it. But on another level, I am a lot of things. But one of them is like not surprised. I mean, did anybody see Lawrence O'Donnell last night, the first bit of his evening program on Thursday night? Find it, yes, and watch it, the first two segments. He lays it out. You know, this is, Saigon 1975 Redux, but worse, way worse. Anyway, that's...
Well, yeah, it's my... Lawrence, Flavio sent me that clip. Yeah, this is not nearly as awful as the end of Vietnam was by orders of magnitude.
Well, Lawrence was telling this story of two Marines that were left behind. It died that day.
Do you remember John Kerry testifying to the Senate, I guess,
Armed Services Committee? Yeah, his famous quote.
Yeah, about, about being the last man to die for a lost cause. Well, these people that Sparky mentioned are literally the two last guys in Vietnam. well, that's what I got from it. Is that, that's pretty much what O'Donnell was saying last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were both from Massachusetts.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to speechify, but I between Lawrence O'Donnell last night and watching this 2-hour thing on Book Notes with Ryan Lamb and McNamara, I'm just in a frame of mind which is not a happy one. Maybe it's one of those deals where you get your 4 years of Trump, you get your 18 months now of COVID, you've got your ongoing stupidity on the right, politically right, and so often wrong side of America, and then I'm foolish enough to, you know, to watch Lawrence last night and that 2-hour thing with on C-SPAN with McNamara, and I at this point by rights I ought to be grabbing for a sharp object to run across my wrist.
So, God, it's maggots, you know, all the way down, right?
I know. Yeah, it's you just can't swing a dead chicken. It's a rubber chicken.
Rubber chicken, yeah. Well, I mean, I've grown tired of the kitty cat reference. What, Sparky?
Did you see the stories out of Florida? Orlando is having to tell people to save water because they're using their liquid oxygen from their water treatment plant in the hospital.
We are up 600 more deaths than we were yesterday, almost 2,000 today.
And then in Jacksonville, they had people coming to a Regeneron clinic laying on the damn floor.
In a library.
$600 minimum. Well, guys, when it could have been done away with for $25 with a shot.
And
that's infuriating.
By the way, there's an. I saw another story earlier today. People who don't want to get the vaccine, assuming that they've got health insurance of some kind, they might want to take a nice long hard look at their health insurance and find out. They might find out that if they get it, they're going to get hung out to dry by insurance. Oops.
I don't mind saying this, Robin. God damn it, I don't fucking blame the insurance companies. Do you?
No. No. And that's why I said earlier about the poor fool in Mississippi, Stan, who injected themselves with horse paste. I mean, can you see it? Can you see them there with the hose around their arm and the hose in their teeth, and they're holding the spoon, God, and they're melting the fucking horse paste? And okay, yeah. Beat the Rona.
Wilbur.
The look on the claim examiner's face would have been priceless, man.
But honestly, Steve, anybody in the group, that was not a rhetorical question that I asked at the beginning of the program. There is a corner of me that still feels pity. But, I mean, what the fuck? I mean, did this person live in a cave and go out to Tractor Supply or Rural King to get them some horse paste and go back to the cave and fire themselves up with it? Was there nobody who looked at them and said, no, don't, no, no.
Don't do that.
Please don't inject the fucking sheep dip, Cletus. Sorry, Cletus.
Robin, did you ever see that episode of Mr. Ed?
End well.
with the horse paste?
Yep.
Self-intravenous horse paste episode?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was the one where it was the same one where he fired it up, and then Ed walked out into the desert and was fading fast, and he looked up at a buzzard sitting on a cactus and said, "Shoo, buzzard, I ain't no dead horse." Was it that episode, Chris?
I think so. I think Wilbur might have been trying to shoot heroin and did the horse paste instead.
Well, we are, I can happily announce that we are done with Rico's The World is a Complete Shit Show Challenge. And we can get started here a little over halfway through the program on Chris in Germany's Greg Abbott Challenge. And there will be a free Greg Abbott with every response. So and let's I think what does it come to? Let's see. $900 out of the 1300 out of the 1268 that we needed. If we can meet that $300 challenge, please, because I just got I got done getting my bearing replaced today. That was fun. Of course, with this being the end of fundraising, I have to mention that, you know, I gotta pay health insurance out of this. So, and that's a whole bunch. That's the vast majority of what we will bring in this evening is my health insurance, because, you know, we wouldn't want to have some sort of single payer health care system or anything. Of course not.
Ben's got his hand up.
Go, Ben.
Hey, Robin, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How about you?
You know what really pisses me off right now?
Do tell.
Both the right-wing media and the left-wing media are both on Biden like stink on flies over Afghanistan. And I'm like, you know what? It's not his fault. It's fucking Bush's fault. It's Trump's fault.
Yeah, please. Thank you. I mean, why is it so hard for us to sort that out?
Because we got too much ignorance in the country right now.
God, you know, I mean, you're right.
I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. This whole flap over Afghanistan, combined with the Santos and that freak down in Texas, are blowing totally out of the water any discussion of the January 6th Commission or any of the January 6th participants. And this whole thing is a clean smokescreen to keep what's really ailing this country out of the limelight. If you look at it, Trump, if I'm not in error, and I don't think I am, Trump closed down every Air Force base except the one at the Kabul International Airport.
Yep.
After the election. He set this son of a bitch up to be a massive failure on Biden's part. And yes, he did it. But I think he did it to make sure that there would be this incredible distraction to take heat off of his ass and his administration's ass for all the other shit they did. Here we are arguing about a failure that Stevie Wonder could have seen 20 years ago. And he's now off clean and running, and everybody's bitching about something else. Not his corruption and total fucking over and theft of so much money from his donors and everybody else.
You get zero argument from me, Roger. It makes perfect, because that's the kind of evil shit that little sleaze bags like Stephen Miller would come up with.
Yeah. All right, this is an orchestrated magician show. Yet they do something with their right hand or left hand, and you're looking at that, and their other hand is doing a bunch of shit, and then they pull it out, and it's magic. And what he's pulled off, I don't think he's smart enough to do it, but what his handlers have pulled off is an absolute, don't look behind the curtain, because we dropped a curtain down in front of it with all this bullshit to distract you from the problems that occurred. And these problems go back to Dick Cheney and his stealing ungodly billions of dollars out of the Iraq war, and all the rest of it. It's all a fucking smokescreen. And I don't give a shit whether it's Fox News or MSNBC or even Free Speech Now with Amy Goodman. I mean, everybody has been distracted. And it might have been Molly Ivins in that disaster capitalism no good capitalist lets a disaster go without making money off of it. Well, this is don't let a good pile of shit happen without setting up a smokescreen to allow you to get all the money into the banks, out of the banks, into your gold, whatever, and invest it in something else.
Hey, Roger, I think that's Naomi Klein, I think.
Naomi Klein, okay.
Yes.
Whatever. I was questioning on that. But the fact is, even this latest COVID thing with the school district fighting over masks is part of the fucking smokescreen.
Hey, Roger. The in stage magic, the term of art is misdirection. And that's a classic case of misdirection. Beautifully executed. I hate to give them a compliment, but I'll tip the old top hat in their direction. But and they the reason they do it, it's a no-brainer for them. They know that by and large people are going to fall for it and be taken in by it.
Well, does anyone here remember I Alone Can Fix It?
The book or the statement?
The statement.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I remember.
Well, isn't that the slogan for 2024? Make America Great Again, I Alone Can Fix It? Told ya. See?
If we make it to 24, I mean, I that's not a sure bet in my book. At the rate we're going, Robin, I mean, come on. I hate to be a pessimist. No, I don't. I'm a born-again pessimist now. This show has turned me into a Pollyanna-ish optimist. And in just a handful of years, I just scowl at everybody. Don't kids, come October, don't come near my house because you ain't getting candy. I mean,
you're getting a stern talking to about the nature of American Republican corruption. Come here, kid.
I just wonder how Walter Cronkite or Huntley Brinkley would be doing their half-hour network show at this time. Would they have brought up the fact that Trump closed all these air bases? In other words, right now, anybody from out in the provinces has to get to Kabul to be evacuated. If we had those other air bases still in operation, we wouldn't be worried about all these interpreters that are scattered all over the fucking country, all having to go through multiple checkpoints and bribing everybody at every fucking checkpoint to try to get to Kabul to get into the airport.
I mean, they mentioned.
But my point here is that when he closed down Bagram, which was the big air base, it shut off an access point for evacuations for multitudes of people. And then even his slow walking of the visa approval for people who had been working with us for months and years.
Right, because remember, I mean, the whole campaign began on we're going to shut down
immigration from Muslim countries until we know what the hell is going on.
I mean, come on. It was only 4 years ago. Four and a half.
Would they also mention that Trump negotiated to release 5,000 warlords and fighters for the Taliban back into the fucking Afghanistan out of the prisons they were taken to?
Yeah, sure.
And the baddies are the bads. He let them fucking go.
And the guy that's now pretending to be president of Afghanistan was one of them.
And in point of fact, Roger, our dear friend Alma says, Roger is exactly right. This is the tactic they used all 4 years, misdirect, deflect, blame anyone else. It's an authoritarian playbook item. They need us sicker, poorer, and weaker. Our enemies, foreign and domestic. Russia used the horseshoe effect by targeting the far left as well. So true. Excellent program this evening, says Alma. And then, thank you, Alma. Thank you so much. And Bernadette says, question. Everyone's jumping on the bash Biden bandwagon. as if he himself was planning this foul exit from Afghanistan since the beginning of this forever war. How is it that every oversight committee in Congress is not investigating the intelligence community? Yeah, I mean, I was the other evening I was saying, you know, some CIA analysts need fired. There's been a failure. There's been failure after failure in the intelligence community since 9/11, 2001. Well, point of fact, since well before that. From the Russian meddling in 2016 and 2020 presidential elections to the current COVID misinformation campaign, from the cyber attacks on aspects of our critical infrastructure to the financial purchases of the for-profit GOP and everything in between, why are we not investigating the intelligence community and their continual failures? Damned fine point, Bernadette. And thank you to Gary. Gary got us started on Chris in Germany's challenge, namely the Greg Abbott challenge. And there's still only $275 left on that now. So thank you to Gary. It is deeply appreciated.
For 10 years, Robin.
Pardon?
I lived in Texas for 10 years. You don't have to tell me about Greg Abbott.
Oh, no, so you enjoy the, yeah.
Yes.
You hope it doesn't hurt too little, right?
Yeah.
Robin?
Wait, Rick has had his hand up for a while.
Okay.
Hey. One thing.
Hold on, which Rick?
Oh, Billable.
Billable, hey. Rick.
Yeah, Billable. Go, Billable.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, you?
I'm doing great. Trying to get some billable stuff, and that's why one reason I've been so quiet.
Well, it's that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's always that time of year. I had the IRS do something. It was totally crazy, off the wall, and now I have to respond to it. So, you know, that takes a long time to have to debunk what they've done, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I was going to comment on the withdrawal from Afghanistan. I mean, it's remarkably successful compared to other withdrawals that have occurred in the past where we've lost wars, like in Vietnam. I mean, we didn't even get to evacuate hardly any of the folks who helped us. You know, the native Vietnamese folks who, you know, were working for the Americans and trying to keep the, you know, corrupt South Vietnam government operational. You know, there hasn't been any shooting at our troops by the Taliban that I know of. And, I mean, I think something like 17,000 people have already been evacuated. I think most Americans are out. There's still some to go, I believe. But any American who wants to go is going to be able to leave. You're not going to have hostages left behind. And any, you know, Afghans who want to apply to leave are going to have a chance to do that. And I think we're going to probably... you know, the Taliban supposedly have given us only till the end of the month, but I suspect that's going to get extended unilaterally by us. And I don't think they dare start shooting at the U.S. forces because they don't want to have, you know, the, you know, bombing again. They've had enough of that. They just want to be, you know, free to, you know, rule their, you know, people in a, you know, religious authoritarian way once the Americans are all gone. So, you know, I think the media is doing a great disservice in portraying this thing as disorderly. Yeah, at times it maybe was at the very beginning, but, you know, part of that is that there's only one airport that's open and everything gets you know, routed through there. I understand there was a suspension of flights from Kabul earlier today because I believe the government of Qatar determined that the transit areas where all the flights were going to were completely filled up, and they had to do a little pause until those folks could be routed to their, you know, destinations, whether it's, you know, in France, Britain, Poland, U.S., wherever. So, you know, the
Australia.
Yeah, Australia. But I mean, the right wing media is just they are so duplicitous and they're such liars. But again, that's unfortunately the price we pay, you know, for the First Amendment, being fetishized in this country. I don't know, as long as that's around, I don't know what you can do. You know, you can't really change the libel laws to make it like Great Britain because they don't have a First Amendment, whereas we do. And, you know, so that's my thoughts on, you know, this whole Afghanistan thing. It was obviously going to be ugly in some manner. And I think Biden's doing a great job getting out there. I mean, he maybe should have gotten in front of the mic a day or two before he did to talk about the matter. But I think now he's on it every day. We're going to start seeing him come out every day to, you know, give progress reports. And again, we need to emphasize that it's not his fault. It's the fault of all the administrations before him, you know, starting with, you know, the Shrub Bush and his cabal of war criminals, as well as Trump and, you know, the way he set things up to try to make Biden look bad. My understanding is he gave the order to start closing all these air bases 1 week after the failed insurrection, you know, when he knew he was not going to be serving a second term. So anyway, those are my thoughts anyway.
At least there hasn't been any airplane crashes like happened in Vietnam.
Yeah, well, I think part of that, Sparky, was you had active fire being targeted against those planes and helicopters, I would venture, right?
Well, the incident I'm talking about is a C-5 orphan flight that had all these orphans and babies on it that crashed on takeoff.
Oh, geez. Oh, well,
I don't know,
you know,
if it was taken down by a missile or whatever.
Oh, geez. Also, when you have so many flights going out in a hurried fashion, you know, it puts a real strain on the maintenance crew, I'd imagine, Sparky, because that's what you did, right, in the Air Force?
Yeah, but the C-17, the loadmaster is pretty much the maintenance crew.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, they know how many hours to fly a plane before they have to put it in deferred maintenance. It's not like the plane I worked on where you had to work on it between every flight so much.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on a comparison contrast between the evacuation of Afghanistan versus South Vietnam?
What I remember, I was out of the Air Force then, but the war basically ended in Vietnam in 73 when the last bomb dropped on August 15th, 1973 in Cambodia. That's
right.
All I remember.
Okay. Did you follow the news, Saigon falling and so forth?
Yeah, I remember the helicopter flights and everything. Kicking the helicopters off the aircraft carrier, all that stuff. But so many people, I mean, got out later on boats. They had the boat people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that started like pretty much right after the Americans got out of Saigon, I think. And if I'm not mistaken, I think a lot of those boat people initially went down to did they sail down to like Indonesia, those areas there, the islands there, and then they were put in camps for a number of years before they were allowed to come to the U.S.?
Yeah, a lot of them were ex-Arvin people. After the Arvin stands for that Army of the Republic of Vietnam. After that collapse.
Yeah. Well, you can still see the South Vietnamese flag in downtown L.A. and Chinatown.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, Scott, how are you?
And pretty good. And Sparky, too. Rick, you mentioned they would fly the South Vietnamese refugees to the carriers in the helicopters, and after they got as many out as they could, they dumped the helicopters into the whatever body of water that was. We didn't even have the privilege of doing that. Everything that we in the past 20 years that we've shipped over there, from nuts and bolts to vehicles and everything in between, are there for the using and taking by the Taliban in Afghanistan.
No. We pulled out our highfalutin technology. It's not there. What's left is a shit.
What I'm saying is we go into these conflicts, if you want to call them that, with a gung-ho, America can do, we're great, and this will be a glorious exercise attitude. But the end game, nobody ever thinks about the end game. Nobody ever thinks in terms of, well, we'll screw the pooch on this one like we screwed the pooch on the last one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you buy something or have a transaction, either in person or online, invariably you'll get a customer satisfaction survey to see how the order was shipped and were you happy with the experience and were you happy with the product. We ought to have a fucking customer satisfaction survey for the last 20 years. And we do, in a sense. They're called elections. But by the time the election rolls around, we've forgotten the misdeeds and the madness of the past because our attention has been redirected to whatever the current smokescreen or bullshit is. I'm sorry. It's a flaw in our system is what it is.
Yeah. No, it certainly is. I was going to mention the militarists don't really care about the result that's obtained in these wars. It's all about extracting as much cash from the U.S. Treasury as companies
money.
Can possibly
get. Pilfering.
That's a win for them. That's their win.
Absolutely.
They don't give a damn.
That's why they want to keep this going.
Yeah, right. 20 years? I mean, are we going to be in there 40 years? Like, how long is long enough?
100? 1,000?
Yeah, right.
Did you see the story that came out today about this contractor that was selling made in China stuff to the military, retagging it made in the USA? They're charging
like
the guy.
That same guy did the same thing, a similar thing.
Excellent movie, by the way, Rick. Yeah. Excellent.
It is, yeah. I think in that case, it was shell casings that was it Chinese stuff that was relabeled?
They were rebranded them.
Rebranded. I think it was used in Afghanistan, supposedly, or maybe.
True story. These were just kids, too, compared to an old man like me, you know, and they pulled it off almost.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many little moments in Afghanistan that beg our remembrance. Does anybody remember when we were shipping rifles over there with a Bible verse on them about killing infidels? Because I do.
Yeah. And dipping the bullets in pig's blood or something like that as well.
Yeah, bacon grease. I think bacon grease.
Yeah, something like
that. I still fondly remember the stories of O'Reilly sending his shit book over there and the U.S. forces using it as kindling to burn and keep warm.
Well, there you go. Oh, jeez.
Well, they had to. I mean, it's too rough for toilet paper. They had to repurpose it for something else.
And we have entered the third hour of the program, and now it's become a desperate sprint to knock down another $275 if anybody can help. To get us to basically fully funded for yesterday and nothing left but today. Then out of that, then, well, it gets a little interesting. But if anybody can jump in and because Chris in Germany desperately wants to double $300 that comes in, and we've got $275 to go on it. Ben, your hand's up.
Yes. Let's not forget two things about Afghanistan. First off, let's not forget Dick Cheney and his Halliburton bullshit in the Afghanistan. And let's not forget the man who got Osama bin Laden, which was President Barack Obama.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, Darlene in Connecticut, guilty as charged. That was my water bottle. Clinking the ice. So most of the time I manage to shut them mic off, but every now and then I forget.
I wish the left-wing media would stop giving Biden a hard time as much as the right-wing media is. I'm surprised the left-wing media is doing it. What the hell's wrong with them?
Because it's catnip. I mean, as I pointed out the other night, Ben, this is both siderism heaven. And they seem to all when they engage in it, they seem to always forget the worst excesses of the Republicans. Because I mean, I still maintain this thing was lost when we started it, because it's kind of like that when you start a war of choice against a nation that hasn't engaged in aggression against you. I can't help, Ben, going back and reiterating the fact that we started bombing because we said, turn over Osama bin Laden to us. The Afghan government said, nuh-uh, we're going to turn Osama bin Laden over to the world court, which would have been completely appropriate. And we said, nuh-uh, and bombed them. That's how this all started. There's no other explanation.
Robin, if I recall, there was a sentence or a quote from Bush. He told the Taliban when he had him over at the White House.
That was May 2001.
Right. He basically said, you know, you can either have a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs. You know, basically something to that effect.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
You can have a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs. You pick. And that's about, that's just a couple of months after he takes the, the Hart-Rudman report on airport security and handed it off to Brownie.
Right. Heck of a job, Brownie.
Bingo.
Yeah, you might as well have had Miss Ed in charge of the of FEMA back then, you know, as opposed to Brownie.
I got a note here from Matt in San Francisco, subject line war. I try to keep things simple. Biden has demonstrated he has the courage to do what the majority of Americans want. Let the chorus of critics sing their song. In the end, he's executing the will of the people. For me, that's more than we usually get from our leaders. And that is so, so true. Thank you, Matt. And by the way, I mentioned the Chevy Bolt a little bit ago. And Matt let me know. There's a fix for the Bolt now. You take it to the dealer, and after analysis, they will replace any cells and even replace the battery if needed. P.S. I still love my Bolt. Good, because, I mean, We don't need setbacks like this.
See, that's why I drive my rolling coal pickup truck.
Yeah.
You don't get no recalls on coal. It's dependable technology. Been that way for years.
Centuries.
Yeah.
Oh, and thank you to Kenda in Missouri. We now have a follow-up. Jesus, to the Mississippi horse paste story. The Mississippi State Department of Health sent a health alert Friday warning healthcare providers about a drug used to deworm livestock that some are using to treat and prevent COVID-19. Bad journalism that some are using to try to treat and try to prevent COVID-19 because they have believed bad information. I was just throwing that edit in. According to the alert, the Mississippi Poison Control Center has received several calls related to the ingestion of ivermectin, meant for livestock, which is causing illness in COVID-19 patients. That's just one state. According to the health alert, no one has been hospitalized due to ingestion. At least 70% of the recent calls have been related to ingestion of livestock or animal formulations of ivermectin purchased at livestock supply centers. And 85% of the callers had mild symptoms. Good God. And so the Mississippi poison...
What is...
Go ahead.
What is the product? I missed that.
Ivermectin. It is summer 2021's hydroxychloroquine, only it is literally horse paste.
Also known, also sheep dip.
Okay, so its intended use is so far removed from what these bozos are using it for that it's almost laughable if it weren't so sad. Is that pretty much where we are?
You've got your finger on the pulse. Yes.
Jesus, and this is Mississippi. Certainly they.
But it's all over the country. It's all over the country.
Okay.
The FDA is involved now.
Oh my God!
No, Trump voters, please don't eat the horse paste. I mean, what's next? What's next? Hey, y'all, I just read a post on Facebook that says you can prevent COVID-19 by eating lead paint chips.
Yeah, with dip.
Yeah, I was going to say, the ugly taste goes away when you use a little of that French onion dip.
Yeah,
mix it with some fish food.
I don't want to get that goddamn vaccine because it just didn't get tested enough. But by God, I'll go down to Tractor Supply and buy me some of that horse paste. Ain't been tested with humans at all, but by God, I'm going to eat that instead of getting that Bill Gates vaccine with its tracker.
Hey, Robin, I shared something kind of a demented and disturbing over on John's show last night. Last night, I ran into two people who I've known for a while, and they did everything they were asked to do through COVID so far. Masks, social distancing, you know, whatever. They've done it all. Even got their two shots. They've drawn the line at getting the booster. They don't know about that.
No. Right.
I'm not even kidding. Yes. They've literally said they don't know about the booster. They don't know if they can trust it.
Oh, God. But as I noted, I shared a Facebook post from some other West Virginian. It's amazing the number of people who will take a swig from some rando dude's bought mason jar of moonshine in the Mountaineer Field Blue Lot parking lot and not even flinch. Might make a little bit of a face, but no, they're worried about what's in the vaccine.
It's got electrolytes.
Isn't this the embodiment of Darwin's law? I mean, what you've got is a certain population and mindset of people who, if the fucking virus doesn't kill them, their homebrew, quote, cures, close quote, probably will. And maybe, you know, how is this a bad thing? I mean, I hate for anybody to suffer or to die, but then again, it's like lead, follow, or get out of the fucking way. Somebody explain this to me.
I had a Georgian tell me, well, I just don't want to stick nothing foreign in my body. I said, well, what the fuck do you think COVID is?
There's
that.
Did they
give you a look like that dog on the old RCA Victor?
Yeah, exactly. Like Nipper.
Yeah. I want you to put down that bottle of Corona beer right now.
Well, he looked at me like a monkey working a math problem. I'm telling you,
it's a whole lot. It's 100% American made.
You think the shot just sticks, stays in your arm? Really? God damn, these people are stupid, man.
Stupid.
They're what you call your irretrievable.
No, I'm sorry, Scott. I'm still sitting here devastated. Like a monkey working a math problem. Because it just gets funnier the more you imagine the monkey. And in my twisted mind, the monkey's morphing into Trump's face.
Yeah, and the monkey every so often will pause and take the lead end of the pencil and kind of lick it and scratch his head and say, wait a minute.
It's a visual for you.
You're gonna have to cheer up.
And that ain't none of that Kenneth Copeland ha 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 bullshit either. This is the real stuff. No, I'm crying, Scott. Fuck you.
It's two of us.
puts his little paw up on top of the crown of his head and scratches a little bit.
Sitting there with his big boy tablet and a pencil the size of a
his big
wall.
Chief tablet and his fat pencil. With the big eraser on it, now that ain't right.
And if you think that's fun, I'll just in the voting booth.
I haven't laughed this hard since Suspiciously Large Woman.
Poor Jesus down in the well.
And here we were having a nice program, but you started monkeying around.
Ah! Oh, there I go.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, we'll all be okay in a minute.
I think it's time to sing a hymn. Control.
Honest to God, I think we needed this. Don't think about it. Don't hear Scott's voice in your brain again, Robin. Don't.
Tech support.
Let him go now. Let him go now.
But seriously.
Shut up.
Oh, you'd be hell to take acid with.
Took care of that. Jesus. I muted him.
Who'd you mute?
Scott, so you can recover and come back in.
All right.
Well, I just hope this, you Scots guard your...
Hey, I just want you to know this shit gets dangerous. I just got a note from Brother Deacon Asa. Okay, now you got me laughing uncontrollably standing on top of a 10-foot scaffold with no fall arrest. Now quit that! God, okay. Oh, y'all are so sweet. Alma says, it's awesome to hear the laughter, the tears, and the belly laughing. We all need it. That was cleansing. It really, really was. Shorty in L.A. says, dang, Robin's laughing like that Snagglepuss cartoon. Oh, great.
Scott, remind me never to do mushrooms with you, bro. You would kill me.
Oh, and making bad matters worse, Mighty Mouse just said of your previous visual image there, Scott, that's fucker Tucker Carlson's look.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, God. That vacant look, like he hasn't a clue in the world or a care in the world. Jesus. Well, you know, Steve and Georgia Sand, when I was a kid, I was like this too, and I reveled in it. The goal of the exercise was to get somebody laughing so hard they would pee themselves. And I did it to a friend of mine, the kid that lived across the street. I also did it to my mom, not meaning to.
But, well, mercifully, you know, I didn't get there, but my mascara is like fucked.
When the door's open, you got to walk in. That's just how I play, you know?
Whew. Well, I'm getting some Skype side chats here, and mission accomplished almost, Scott. Jesus, killing us, man. We needed it, though.
That's like something my pal Terry said to me the other day. We were talking about things developing quickly in terms of procedures and stuff for me, and I told her about it. She wrote back and said, well, you know, when you're ready to jump, God opens a window.
Well, Scott, your little explanation of your childhood explains all that time you spent clapping racers.
Well, yeah, there you go. Those nuns, they had me pegged from word one, you know, word
don't
go.
Say nuns and pegging in the same sentence, please.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry.
Just for the sake of dinner in the mountain in the Pacific time zone. Yeah.
And their threats didn't work on me, you know. The principal's office, a visit to the principal's office, Sister Helene, that was not a threat at all. It's when they started invoking the name of Father Flotsky. You know, well, if you don't straighten up, young man, we're going to send you down to see Father Flotsky. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, it wasn't so much that I became a lapsed Catholic and left entirely. They invited me to go. They gave me parting gifts, you know, consolation gifts on my way to the door. These people were no fools. They didn't want me around mucking up their con. No, no way. God.
Oh, that was nice. That was just nice.
Well, I mean, it's a pleasure to do that. I mean,
oh, it is, and I mean, I remember my mother and my father and I were all that way a bit, and they would find something fairly innocuous screw up in the newspaper, and the next thing I know, they're both helpless, and then I look over either my mom or my dad's shoulder, and then I'm ruined, and there was just nothing was, nobody could do anything. For like 10 minutes in the house until it just kind of passed.
And it's good medicine. That thing about laughter being the best medicine, it is.
Yes.
Because it's hard to be afraid. It's hard to be angry. It's hard to be any negative thing when you're laughing yourself silly. I defy anyone to do it. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, there's always somebody. Brendan just wrote in and said, hey, Robin, what about nuns named Peggy? Yeah, I bet there's a few sly looks with that, too. And I'm all excited because there's a new episode of Ted Lasso to watch this evening after the program. Oh, by the way, Trey's been keeping us up to date on the positivity rate in Kentuckystan. It has now risen. It was 12.75 yesterday. Hey, it's 12.8 today. And Trey reiterates, I'm living in a COVID crockpot. Jesus.
Well, the vice president's getting out of the country.
Yeah, Kamala Harris being the first Asian vice president has been tasked with recentering our foreign policy with a trip to Southeast Asia.
So, the Republicans will probably be talking about that.
Oh, I'm sure they'll have a shit hemorrhage.
Well, and aren't they...
You know, if they can tear themselves away from Afghanistan.
Aren't they being true to form? It's always this way. Whenever the Democrats are in charge, House, Senate, and presidency, they have the only thing they can do is to hoot and holler from the cheap seats. And then you get them back into office, they can't govern. That's the last thing they're interested in doing. So it's a no-win situation either way. I mean, I'd much rather have them out of power. Don't get me wrong. But they're juveniles. They're juveniles. Why don't they go get honest work? What's wrong with these people? Get a paper route. You know, do they still have newspaper routes? I don't know.
I canceled the one here. Now my paper comes in the mail.
Yeah, that's how I get mine, too. Well, several of them in the mail. Ooh, Scott.
This is the letdown after the letdown.
Yeah, man, I'm coming down, man. Can't talk, coming down.
Don't have energy after.
I need a cigarette.
Oh, yeah, a cigarette would go good right about now.
Well, staying with the idea of Republicans and Democrats in power, how can anybody expect a political party that truly does not believe government has a role other than having a police department and a military, and elect them and expect a governance that deals with infrastructure and the like? The Republican platform, although not published, is that government is too damn big, it does too much regulation, and should be
shrunken down in a bathtub where it'll wash down whatever that thing was, about getting it small enough to open the drain in the bathtub. But that is the Republican philosophy. And yet, how can the populace be so stupid as they're driving on the freeways and they're stopping at stoplights and not see that there is a purpose of government to do for society what individuals cannot do? I mean, if the big factory farm down the road is pumping all the cow manure directly into the river because it'll wash downstream and it kills off all the fish, they'll bitch about not being able to go fishing, but we don't want any goddamn regulations on the cow operation upstream.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, two words, Roger, two words. Cognitive dissonance. I mean, they're able to hold absolutely competing ideas in their head at the same time and not be bothered by it.
Well, as many of you know, I was up at Mount St. Helens a couple of weeks ago, and all the visitor center type places were closed. I mean, it's inside the National Monument area, all the rest of it. And on the way up to the peak, well, not the peak, but a vantage point, one of the visitor centers was locked up. The restrooms were open, but the visitor center itself was closed up. And this guy drove in, and he was pissed because there were no maps or anything. And I had an extra one in the car, but he didn't get it. But as we were standing there and talking, and he comes back, well, that's goddamn government for you. They can't even provide a fucking map. Well, the maps are available if you'd stopped in at the real visitor center that had a rack out front where you could pick something up before you went up to the top of the mountain. And when I got back in the car with the kids, I looked at him and I said, well, I don't need to guess who he voted for last time around. It was just the stupidity of these people. It never ceases to amaze me, and yet I'm becoming more and more immune to it and expecting it, which is why I don't want to talk to them anymore. I don't want to associate with them. I don't even want to be around them because they're too fucking stupid. Didn't mean to put a damper on the whole goddamn thing.
Make a joke about a monkey, Roger. Come on.
Well,
that's a joke.
They can scratch their ears and scratch their balls and scratch their toes and scratch their armpit all at the same time.
They can't scratch their own elbows with the same arm, damn it.
They're not the same arm, but they can scratch it with a different one.
Well, I knew that.
A monkey can scratch their elbow with three different limbs very conveniently. Have you tried that?
No, but as soon as the show is over, I have to.
I do have a slight bit of good news, and take this as you want, but Rachel had reported last night that for the first time in weeks, we spiked above 1 million new shots a day. So maybe some people are getting the messages or watching their friends and family die.
Very good. I saw that. The other side of it is that during the peak of the lockdown, which was never a lockdown, what was our cases per day when the recommended shutdown was initiated? And where are we now on the number of cases per day? Are we approaching that number or not? Our resident statistician might be able to help out with that question.
We're still well below that. I want to say back in the peak of it, we were at like 300,000 new cases a day. Right now, we're still hovering before, you know, around 1,000, or well, not 1,000, but like 2,000 a day or something like that. So we're still well below that.
We're over 2,000 cases a day. Well over that. 2,000 would just be one state.
I'm sorry, I messed up. We're almost at 40,000 new cases a day, but we're still well below the peak. We're almost, you know, like
you probably got fatalities confused with cases.
I'm looking at the numbers right now. Yesterday it was 37.5. Hold on a second. 160,000 cases yesterday.
Okay. And when we initiated the first, and I use the term advisedly, lockdown, what was our numbers then per day?
Something like 320. So we're almost a little close to halfway there already. Yeah, halfway there.
And we're on a steeper up climb right now on our new cases per day than we were then.
100%.
And it didn't have to happen.
I'm disappointed that you didn't prompt me with a question. But while we're talking about cases and numbers and stuff, has anyone with HBO seen the new documentary In the Same Breath?
No, I'll just throw up my watch list.
Yeah, check it out. It's made, I forget her name, but she's a woman from China. And it starts basically from before COVID. And just for 2 hours, it takes you through the whole thing here and there. And this thing was stoppable at any number of places, or at least the damage was manageable or reducible, if not manageable. And, you know, we over here dropped the ball. China over there kind of dropped the ball, too, because, you know, how they don't want to make the state look bad. So they can't acknowledge reality when it's happening all around them.
What's the title again, please?
In the Same Breath.
Thank you.
And it's pretty good. And I don't like movies with subtitles. And for some reason, they did not have me in mind when they made this, because not only are there lots of subtitles for good reason, because I don't speak Chinese, but my vision is not what it used to be 20, 25 years ago. And I'm sitting here with my nose up against the screen trying to read along. And it's make those fucking The big print subtitles. Come on.
And if you have to get up, you're constantly having to pause the goddamn thing, too.
So yeah.
I'm not a big fan of subtitles either.
But it's pretty good. It's a pretty good show.
I'll check it out. It's in my watch list. Thank you.
There's no shit third world nations that have handled COVID better than we have by a long shot.
But we got to figure out a way how to get mandate vaccinations. And I'm trying to think outside the box here. And I've had an idea. Everybody likes to drive. Say, you know, in order to protect law, first of all, you'd have to somehow have all law enforcement mandated that they get vaccinated. And then say, in order to protect law enforcement, you must be vaccinated to have a driver's license or to keep your driver's license. That's one way that would work. But of course, you would have everybody fighting. And there's so many logistical reasons why it wouldn't. But I'm desperately thinking of a way to get people vaccinated, because it would save lives, because it doesn't have to go this dark.
Well, one of the things that's happening right now is that mandate that all healthcare workers, and that's including the in-home supportive services, assisted living centers, ambulance personnel, et cetera, must be vaccinated or they're terminated. And that comes out as a federal. Well, Biden did it with, if your nursing home is going to accept or get paid via Medicare, all of your employees and caregivers must be vaccinated. Every police department, if you are going to get any more equipment from the federal government, all employees must be vaccinated.
There you go, Roger. Good
if
thought.
Your school is going to get any federal aid, and of course they all get some kind of federal aid, even if it's their lunch program, all personnel must be vaccinated, and you must have a mask in place for all students up through the age of 18, i.e., you know, high school graduation. There are all kinds of things that can happen. But the one thing that really has to come about is that it gets taken off the authorized use, emergency use number.
And which should be in short order.
It should be in short order. But once it becomes a fully accepted vaccine, then all of these things should come in. And like Florida, if your state does not mandate 100% vaccinated and mask wearing to protect those kids under 12, you lose all federal funding. And the reason that now there's a history on this. Back in the oil crisis, when the federal government said, thou shalt reduce your speed limit to 55 miles per hour on all roads, or you lose your federal money for maintenance. And every state in the union dropped their speed limit to 55 because they didn't want to give up the federal subsidies. And the states that get the most federal subsidy happen to be red states. The blue states are net givers and red states are net takers when it comes to the federal budget. And then the other side of it is the Defense Department could go and tell Lockheed Martin and Boeing and Douglas and all the rest of them, unless you have 100% vaccinated workforce from the janitor to the CEO, your federal defense contract gets nullified. And all of a sudden, there'd be all kinds of people running out to get vaccinated.
Yeah, Roger, you're absolutely right, because it's not like there isn't a history of this stuff. The other one that comes to mind, going to from 0.10 to 0.08 on blood alcohol, everybody jumped in, the states jumped, because your highway funds were not going to come in.
And then, same thing when they raised the drinking age.
Bingo. Nationally, it's 21. Even though you can, with a waiver, you can sign up for the military at 17, go die for your country, dying for a beer. And the federal government can say, do it or lose it.
You can buy beer on a military base when you're 18.
Right, when you're 18. But the thing is, you can sign up with a waiver. You can sign up at 17. That's why I use 17.
Because I used to run cases of beer back to Red Bluff when I was 18.
But when the carrot doesn't work, the stick does.
Well, when I was in Groton, Connecticut in '65. New York City was 18 and Connecticut was 21. So all the people between 18 and 21 would go down to New York City for the weekends.
Yeah. It was 18 versus 21 between Alabama and Missouri when I started college. Hey, I need to send out some thank yous. Thank you very kindly to our dear friend Alma. Thank you, Alma. Thank you very kindly as well. To our dear sister Jude, thank you both. We have now gotten the fundraising goal, the goal for Chris's Greg Abbott challenge down to $225. So we got $225 to go to be funded up to tonight, and we got about 21 minutes to get there. $225, and then we got another $300 behind that, and then $300 for Monday, and that's pretty much August. But thank you. Thank you so very much, Alma, and thank you so very much, Jude. Hopefully there's $225 more dollars that want to be doubled and turn into a grand total of, well, $600 by the time the challenge is met. Thank you. Thank you. Darlene in Connecticut says, I like the idea of health insurance companies refusing to cover the anti-vaxxers' illnesses and treatment from COVID. Maybe Biden can issue an executive order. I don't know. Well, the fact of the matter is, William Rivers Pitt quoted Axios earlier today. Coronavirus patients who end up hospitalized, the vast majority of whom are unvaccinated, are increasingly likely to be on the hook for their medical bills. Early in the pandemic, most insurers waived out-of-pocket costs for coronavirus hospitalizations, but with vaccines readily available, many patients are once again on the hook for deductibles and copays, which could make remaining unvaccinated a lot more expensive. And added Will Rivers Pitt did, this is what's going to turn this particular worm. Amazing self-destructive ruinous stupidity is one thing. Expensive amazing self-destructive ruinous stupidity will get needles into arms. How pluperfectly American. Thanks to Joy in Ann Arbor for pointing that out. Much obliged. And, well, again, we're back with what I said a couple of nights ago. Kick them right between the folds of their wallet. And suddenly they will find themselves able to learn.
The whole exercise of incentivizing responsible, intelligent behavior is an interesting thing. You know, it's a carrot and stick thing. True, but the ultimate stick is the corpse of a dead spouse or child or parent. And you can't really argue with a corpse.
It's already happening, Scott.
Well, that's what I mean. Even in that circumstance, they still try to argue that COVID's not real and vaccines and masks don't help. That's where I'm thinking Darwin, you know, the Darwin principle kicks in. Sooner or later, the universe and nature and whatever will not tolerate irretrievably stupid behavior and approaches. Sooner or later, you'll fucking die. And maybe that's what it'll take.
So that stupid tree on Idiocracy is going to slowly shrink by your method of thinking then?
Well, I don't know. I hate to see it.
It's a hell of a way to get there.
Well, I hate to see it go that way, but sometimes, you know, sometimes rationality and intelligent presentations and arguments and common sense advice will avail you nothing. There are some people, goddamn, there were 71, 74 million of them last election.
They
have to learn the hard way. And sometimes that's a permanent lesson that you've learned, and it's a hard one to boot, but there you go.
Well, I think I can't get the young woman, the girl, off my mind from Mississippi.
That was so sad.
Now, on the same day that Governor Colonel Tink Reeves of Mississippistan says, well, you know, children may get it, but mostly they just get the sniffles. On the same day that he said that, this little girl, 13 years old, an honor student, played in the band, you know, everything we want a kid to be, gets diagnosed and she's dead on Saturday. Now, she was otherwise healthy. And her parents were not Trump-voting idiots. And the next day, at some point in time in the past week or so, they were interviewed and they said, please, please get your vaccine. It's the only way to really protect yourself. Please get your vaccine. And they were begging and pleading. And you know, there's no evidence of them going to anti-mask rallies or hooting about how, you know, they sent her to school without a mask because she couldn't breathe. None of that bullshit. And four other kids are dead in Mississippi. And I don't know how many in Talibama or Tennistan or Kentuckystan. Good Jesus, how many in Florida? So, I mean, it's that learning curve. And it, not to get all biblical on y'all or anything, but I'm reminded, what is it? Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi, says, and in that day they shall call Lord, Lord, and I will hear them not.
There you go.
Have I got it right, Scott? Is that what it says?
Yeah, that's more or less. And even, I mean, there's one scripture where the people will be hoping for mountains to fall down upon them. Well, it's too late. If you've gotten to that point in your stubbornness, your hard-heartedness, to use another biblical terminology, you're screwed. You're permanently screwed.
It's heartbreaking that we have a fazy to fair chance of predicting who this could kill, and people have latched onto that. But in the end, it's really blind, stupid luck. We really don't fucking know who's going to die.
And as if all of this weren't bad enough, the fact that people are resistant to wearing a mask and getting properly vaccinated, this gives the virus doesn't give a shit one way or another. All it wants to do is replicate itself.
Survive. And
if it needs to create a variant of itself to achieve that end, it'll bloody well do it.
Yeah, the point is infection without killing the host. That's how it replicates.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like we've been handed a fucking golden opportunity, and yet we're too stupid or obstinate to take it. And you know, sometimes those people must become casualties and statistics. And it's a sad commentary that's the way life is, but sometimes life includes dying. And there's nothing sadder. Death is sad on its own, but there's nothing sadder than a preventable death, and a death that is directly related to stupidity or obstinance. And there endeth the lesson, boys and girls. I mean, that's just the nature of where we are. Not me, not you guys.
And
you know?
As Steve from Georgia stands pointing out in the chat, I will expand on what he just said. I don't ever, never, never know how want to ever hear a goddamn Republican talk about how they're pro-life. Because those pro-life motherfuckers are among the worst offenders for not wearing masks, not social distancing, and damn sure not getting the vaccine. And we know this because there's some preachers out there going, no, really, you know, God gave a doctor, God gave us scientists who had the brains to figure out the vaccine so you wouldn't die from it. But for every one of him, there's five Sean Fucks and Greg Locks and Kenneth Copelands and whatnot. You know, remember, Kenneth Copeland's daughter started a mini epidemic in Texas of measles because she told her idiot congregation not to vaccinate their children against measles.
But you know these preachers all have the fucking shot.
Sure.
They're con artists. They know there's no fucking Lord.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. But you're right, Robin.
I will.
The party that once supposedly prided itself on being pro-life and also pro-personal responsibility, they're doing neither. They're not being pro-life in this case, and they sure as hell are not playing up the role of personal responsibility to get us where we need to be. And that's why if you held a gun to my head,
oh, yeah.
I don't recommend doing it. But I would never vote for a Republican. Hell, I wouldn't have before, but now it's a cinch case.
They're the death party.
There you go. Death cult.
They're, exactly, death cult. And suddenly we're back to Wee Willie Geist and, oh, the Taliban are a medieval a torture cult. You ever met a Trump voter? Really? Hey, a little program note. I was talking to my two dear friends, Terry Ellen and Nikki, the charming and affable hostesses of Trans Talk Raw every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Every Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7:30 Pacific, or whenever you want to watch it in its recorded format. And they asked me, being as how the last time I was chatting with them was January the 2nd, and a lot of changes have been made, a lot of changes have happened, they asked me if I'd like to come back and chat tomorrow. And I said, why, sure I would. So tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 9:30 Central, 8:30 Mountain, 7:30 Pacific, I'll join... Nikki and Terry on Trans Talk Raw over on Facebook. Just look for Trans Talk Raw if you want to watch it live. Since we don't do a lot of video here, and mostly I just post photos on Facebook and Instagram and stuff, live and in the flesh and moving around and, you know, really for real, honest and for true me. Not that I can.
Robin, can you mention the two women that their programs seem to have stopped updating in Apple iTunes all about February? There hasn't been a fresh episode since.
I maybe not. I don't know if it's not. I will tell them. I will certainly tell them. They
definitely had an audio podcast, but I have not been able to find it since around then.
Okay. I'll see if they're aware of that. But you can always grab it at Facebook. You can grab the replay.
I'll have to look for that. I sleep then, obviously.
Yeah. The most recent one plays at the top, I think. Last I checked, but it was really wonderful. There were oodles and oodles and oodles of viewers for that last episode that where I joined them, and it's just going to be a Jim Dandy conversation, I think. So there we go. I'm really looking forward to it, and I will have to try really, really hard not to draw ancient curses on my eyelids with my eyeliner in the morning. That's no small feat, and it's certainly not guaranteed. But I'm really looking forward to it. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is getting to see Terry when I go down to Alabama, because we have not seen each other in person since February of 1986. So it's going to be really, 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 really wonderful. And I'm looking forward to it a whole lot. And of course, it's part of why I'm trying to figure out whether I should try to get a third shot. And the big part of that is figuring out, you know, why is it 8 months? And y'all did a pretty good job of explaining that. And there's about 7 minutes left in the program and $225 to go to finish fundraising. Not finish fundraising, but to meet Chris in Germany's Greg Abbott challenge. And I really hope that happens because, end of the month, health insurance, remaining bills to pay, and, you know, all of those little things. So thanks everybody who does jump in. It's deeply appreciated. And I had a feeling this was going to be a Jim Dandy conversation this evening, and y'all have not failed to deliver.
I got a headline for you.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick falsely blames COVID surge on unvaccinated Black Texans.
Yeah, I even saw that clip. That was disgusting. He should have done it in a Klan hat. And then, it's the Democrats' job to get the Black people to get the vaccine, just like it's Republicans' job to get Republicans to get the vaccines. And I mean, he actually said that. I mean, old school racist much, Dan? Jesus.
If Tracy was here, she'd be going nuts.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, she'd be, yeah. And rightly so. Oh, a little technical note to send along. Brother Deacon Asa wanted folks to know that if you were listening to the Malloy program on the head-on stream last night, you might have noticed some technical problems. So Brother Deacon Asa asked me a moment ago, could you please explain about the audio anomalies on the Malloy program from last night, so the brethren and sistren don't think a brother deacon didn't play the Malloy tape back real good. And so, no, that was a technical thing that happened over on the Progressive Voices end, and not with us. So, but still, nonetheless, we regret the error. Yeah.
So is it in Texas, the illegal aliens that are coming in and streaming over the border that are unvaccinated,
that are giving it to the black folk, and then the black folk are giving it to the white folk? Or is it just the illegal aliens that are coming over giving it straight to the white folk?
Oh, no, no,
I'm
no.
I'm kind of confused
well,
on that.
I know. Well, you know, what you got to do in that with that analysis, Roger, is you got to calculate for maximum racism, in which case then, yes, it's being transmitted from brown to black to innocent white.
Okay. I'm glad I got that straightened out, because I was real worried about those brown folks that aren't released until they've been vaccinated and kind of wondering how it all worked.
Yeah, well, see, right there, that proves there's a liquid barcode tracking device in it, because that's the only way we can keep up with them is by vaccinating them, and then we can follow them. Jesus, right. I hate Republicans.
Actually, what's happening, guys, the occupants of interplanetary craft are coming down and giving the COVID to the Mexicans, and then they're going across the border and infecting everybody else. That's how it's working.
Wait,
lasers can't handle it?
No. It's got to be the occupants of interplanetary craft.
And I got to give you, and Billable, I'm giving you a cowbell. It's not just every day that you get a reference to an obscure carpenter's tune. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft.
Also, Klaatu did it.
Ooh, I didn't realize that. We're making headway. We are now down to 195. Thank you, Kevin, in Massachusetts. And thank you, Ben. Thank you so much. We are now down to 185. We could make this, and then we'd have nothing but Friday to worry about on Monday. Well, Friday and Monday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Monday and Tuesday, but there's that.
Not to minimize Billable Rick's cowbell, but what do you call Scott's four-way with the monkey? That's a cow gong, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I kind of wish Britovo was here, because I could cowbell it. And I think I cowbelled it earlier, but he definitely needs a gong from John Britovo and any other. You know, if I had a whoopee cushion, I would sit on it.
I'm pretty sure they're not using blue bulbs anymore either. They're trying to keep the lasers clear. You know, they've smartened up the people now, so we know what to look for.
I think you need to throw a few rubber chickens in there as well, Robin.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, the Friday night sacrifice of the rubber chickens will take place.
Well, you know, the thing is, I had a program director once back in my radio days who tried to impress upon me the value of the notion less is more. And, you know, I know that I used to call in way more than I do now, but I'm finding out that a little of me will go a long way, and that it's like, and part of it is my summer sleeping schedule, because I'm sensitive to the heat. So I try to stay awake during the cooler parts of the day and active and stuff. But it just gladdens my heart that I can make Robin and the rest of you laugh to the extent that you have this evening. You know,
oh, honey, you hurt me.
And I hate, you know, it just hurts me to have fucked up your mascara and maybe the, you know, cloth upholstered seat of your studio.
No, that was funny, but, too.
But sometimes it's difficult work, but sometimes you just got to buckle down and do it. And I'm very happy to oblige when I can. So, and if you think that's fun, I wish it was like an amusement park and I could sell tickets for visits inside my head. Strap yourselves into the seat and take the ride, because you only hear a fraction of it. You know, when I'm here by myself and there's no cat or bird or human to talk to, I have some of the most delightful monologues. I wish I would tape them and write them down or something. There's a book in it or something. There's something in it, and I wish they'd get it out of it. But it's just, who needs cable when I'm around? Come on. But anyway, I shouldn't toot my own horn.
No, Faith. You know,
hi,
the ability.
Hi, Faith.
Hey, Faith.
Hello, everybody. How's it going?
Hi, Faith.
It's going well. It's I'm so glad you made it in. I'm sorry we've come to the end of the program, but it's awfully nice to speak with you.
I'm so sorry I'm so late. I was trying to get on earlier, but I had so much to get done. Just now got finished.
Good stuff.
I do, Faith.
Yeah, I have a gig tomorrow, so.
Oh, yeah? Tell us about it.
Well, I also work as a makeup artist. So I'm an artist first, makeup artist second. And I have a big wedding tomorrow. I have to do 11 people.
Oh, wow.
Including the bride.
Maybe you're the person whose brain I need to be picking.
I'm here for you, Robin.
Girl needs to learn not to put it on with a trowel.
Totally. Yeah, maybe not do that.
I'm permanently traumatized by liquid eyeliner. And I want a wing so bad, but I just can't. My poor old eyes make it look like the sad clown droop thing, and it's terrible.
Oh, I wish I could see you in person so I could help you with that.
Just have to get some Botox injections.
I don't even know if that'd work. But I do. I have a wonderful time with it, Faith. It's a running contest between which I enjoy more, lipstick or eyeshadow. God, all the colors in the palettes are just so much fun.
I know. It's like it's never a dull moment. You can do whatever you want.
No, I have a little panic attack sitting there, going trying to figure out what kind of combination of eyeshadow I'm going to use.
I know it can be very daunting at times, like depending on what you want to go for.
Well, so you'll have to check out Trans Talk Raw in the replay on Facebook and critique me.
Okay, I will.
That would be really fun.
Yeah, that would. And we could always do something like if you wanted to ever do like a Skype thing. Could
okay. Yeah.
Like a little tutorial or something.
Okay. Well, let me just pick your brain real quick.
Uh huh.
Now, I mean, it's summer here, but where I'm going, it's even. It's even hotter. What's your best strategy for, you know, August hot and really really humid?
Like for all of it, like eyes, lips, face.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily colors, but you know, how do you keep from just melting in the heat?
Well, there's a really good liquid eyeliner. I know you're kind of scared of the liquid. By NYX, it's like waterproof, and it
that's my brand.
It dries like instantly, but there's like this pot eyeliner. It's more like it's in a jar. It's more like a gel base, and like MAC has one or Bobbi Brown. Those are really great for waterproof too. And then use your waterproof mascara.
So I assume you'll be using waterproofs for tomorrow's nuptials, because there will probably be a lot of crying.
Yes. I do lashes as well, and I do everything waterproof because they can't help it, but there's usually tears.
Yes, happy tears. Happy tears.
Yeah, very happy tears. So I try to help prevent any smudging or anything like that. Try to stay ahead of the game.
So do you contour or anything like that?
Yep, all of it.
Because I've got a little NYX Wonder Stick contour stick that I'm going to try to start learning how to use.
Oh, yes. The key is just blending like crazy. And really, less is more. Less is more.
I will try to bear that in mind. This is so fortuitous, Faith. Thank you very much. And by the way, Jude says, hey to Alma and Faith and to me and to the entire Friday on the Front Porch crew. Thank you, Jude. Jude, it was really wild. Jude and Alma jumped in with kicking in on Chris and Germany's ha 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 Greg Abbott challenge. She said, what a moment of serendipity with Alma and yours truly aligned in supporting. At the same moment, you become a conduit in reconnecting dear Alma with me. Oh, a moment to embrace. And those, you know, those little moments happen all the time here. And it's absolute, it is. It's absolutely lovely. Oh, dear. And then this, Shorty in L.A. Hey, how about all those folks at Guns N' Roses here last night? No black folks were there. But apparently, Guns N' Roses, well, I used to call them Guns N' Idiots, it played L.A. last night, and it was, well, that'll be a super spreader. God, we can't learn. We can't learn, seems like.
Hey, I had to turn down free tickets to Dirty Honey and the Black Crowes last night at the LA Forum. I didn't feel comfortable going into an indoor arena.
No,
people, you know?
No.
What's the matter with LA? They can't institute the same thing as San Francisco?
As far as mask mandates?
No, you can't go to events if you're not vaccinated.
Yeah, I don't think they have that. I think they had a mask mandate for the event last night, or maybe it just started after last night. I'm not sure.
Well, that's something that Matt in San Francisco wrote maybe last week about how he used to love to go to concerts, and said, yeah, I would not go to a concert right now unless it was in my backyard.
There you go. Well, you never know. Performers want to perform. Maybe they will perform in Matt's backyard. All you need to do is ask, right?
True enough. And but you know, again, we talked earlier this week about after Carol Baker talked about the Garth Brooks 74,000 super spreader event at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. Curiously enough, I guess he caught some serious shit, and he just canceled the rest of his tour.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks canceled her tour as well. Yeah.
Because and not because she was afraid, but because people won't cooperate.
Right. Yeah, lots of performers are pushing their dates out to 2022, I've noticed.
Shorty says, girl, hold me back. What and why in the fucking wide, wide world of sports did the mayor of L.A. allow an instant super-duper spreader Shredder Guns N' Roses concert happen yesterday? Oh, duh, I lost cool. Concert was near USC. Hell of a motherfucking nope, because it's South Los Angeles. Different kind of air problems here, Sparky. And Bank of California Stadium, COVID-19 policy. Oh, dear. That's just... requires all guests to wear masks, face coverings, indoors, and in the Bank of California Stadium concourse, unless actively eating or drinking in designated areas. But it's only a recommendation from the California Department of Public Health that people be fully vaccinated or obtain a negative COVID-19 test within 72 hours prior to entering the stadium, or wear a mask, except when actively eating or drinking. But it's only a recommendation. Only a recommendation. Good God.
I've got an update on the next California mountain community. It'll probably burn down to the ground.
Oh, yeah?
If you want to, yeah, Taylorsville. I had to go into the other room, see Judy. You know that obnoxious emergency alert sound comes on your TV?
Yeah.
They were ordering all residents of Taylorsville to evacuate now.
Huh. There went Taylorsville. Hey, thank you.
It's a few miles away from Greenville.
So they're just not, I mean, they can't get it under control. Is it still the Dixie Fire?
Yes.
Good God. Climate change. But, you know, the maggots will let the whole world burn down before they'll admit that it's... Yeah. Well, what is this, the first hurricane to land in New England in 30 years? Henri? Has the letter I storm been identified yet? Has it spun up?
Well, Zeke will be here before you know it, Robin.
Don't I know it. Don't I know it. Well, hey, thank you, Herbert. Thank you, Herbert, so very much indeed. We are down to less than $100 to finish Chris in Germany's Greg Abbott challenge. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. That's huge, Herbert. That is tremendous. And so just a little bit more, and we're done. And, hey, we're done. Except for the fact that the conversation will continue. We will go around from the front porch to the back porch, Sparky's back porch, and continue the conversation. I've got to get the program uploaded and make way for Malloy. It is... well, thank you, Alma. I'm unable to tell you how much I love and appreciate you and all the friends that I have here. That is so sweet. Thank you. We've got, what is it, $85 to go? So, thank you, Alma. Alma's going to finish the $85 of the challenge. Thank you. And so it's time to, it is time to wrap up. I've got one more, Scott, you've got one more person you devastated earlier this evening.
Uh-oh.
Subject line, dropped everything. Suman, writing from Arizona, Stan, says, we're moving this weekend. Oh, God, Suman, I'm so sorry. We're moving this weekend. I was packing, and then I laughed so hard I dropped everything on my foot. Still worth it, though. Thanks, Scott. Yeah. Oh, and as to Henri, Darlene in Connecticut tells us, yeah, that hurricane's making a beeline for Rhode Island. If it shifts west a bit, then I'm screwed. Oh, God. Batten down the hatches, Charlene, or maybe get the hell out. And Albert, you too. We care about all of our Horn Family Community Congregation members and don't want anybody wrecked by a natural disaster. Y'all take care of yourselves. We're thinking of you. Shorty wants to know, for the back porch, you just use Skype. That's the only way you can get in on the back porch is use the button there at headon.live. I don't know if Shorty can do the Skype. But that's how it is. Thank you, everyone. Thanks so very much. So we've got 300 to go to finish tonight's fundraising. We got all the way up to today, got caught up, and then there's today, tomorrow, and then all the time that I'm not here. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to all of you who are a la carte contributors. That's the only way this program continues to exist. Thank you. And thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves around which we gather for the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you so much. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, 10 feet up on that scaffold. I think you're safe now. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And happy anniversary to you and Katie, and many happy returns. Aw, thank you, Faith. Thank you so much. Right back at you. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your booster when you can. Oh, my goodness, yes. And in the meantime, wear your gloves, use your hand sanitizer liberally. Take it with you everywhere you go. Don't count on somebody to have any. Take your own. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands frequently. Maintain your social distance. 15 to 20 feet, Paul from Parts Unknown tells us now. And, of course, well, if somebody comes towards you saying, I ain't taking my mind medicine for 2 days, avoid that person like the plague. Because he could have a bomb. And, of course, he is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.